you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, it's Valentine's Day.
It's almost the 14th of February. So try and guess why I'm so depressed. Wish you were tonight, Valentine, my friend. You should see the junk mail and all the bills that I've been getting in. And if I get one more thing from it,
are you okay?
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Aren't you love, baby? Yeah!
F me.
Welcome to my humble chamber, or as I call it, the love nasium.
Ooh. I never want to make love to another man again.
And I never want to make love to another man either.
Ooh!
Happy Valentine's Day!
It's St. Valentine's Day!
And now...
Ooh!
Our feature presentation.
I don't even remember why we were making those noises, but I'm sure it wasn't for that use.
No, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah. Oh, it was, okay.
I think you were very much in love. This was in the early days of you and Ralph and your relationship, and I think you... Remember back then, Lisa, they just couldn't keep their hands off each other.
Oh, it was crazy.
We have lost the passion now.
We're like, yeah, get a room.
Exactly. But they just all the time just pawed at one another, who's kind of embarrassing, to tell you the truth.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin Amin Show. It is Wednesday, and it is the 14th of February. Ola.
Lisa, you ready for our date today?
We don't have a Stop date tonight, Bean. We're just staying in the same hotel.
That's like me asking, you know, somebody if I'm going to be able to play on the Lakers tonight. There's not a chance in a million years anything is going to happen. So stop acting like it.
I've already lined up Valentine's Day plans. I found a place. I'm taking Lisa for turkey meatloaf, and
that's
American Idol.
Good.
And we
that's just it, Bean.
Yeah.
We're going up to Big Bear tonight so we can broadcast from there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's Amy's room. She's having that food in her room.
Right.
Our promotions director.
And I think that'll be a nice, comfortable, warm environment for Lisa. And
but the rest of us are all going to be there.
Right. But Lisa will be drinking so heavily that she'll only have eyes for me.
Okay.
But Amy will be in the room. I might only have eyes for her.
And rightfully so.
Have you seen those boobs?
Yeah, well, no one can blame. They are the best breasts in
you don't
rock and roll, that's for sure.
Try to seduce me with Amy in the room, for God's sakes.
That's step one.
You don't really want to try to seduce me at all.
How dare you?
That's the truth.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Lisa's going to be limping in tomorrow morning on the broadcast. I'm telling you guys right now, she's going to be crawling to the broadcast area.
Only if I fell and sprained my ankle.
Oh, how dare you.
And while that's happening, somebody's going to be knocking on the door outside, and he's going to be saying,
Anna.
A bit of a stretch, but I had to work at it.
I bet Bean won't even come out of his room tonight.
He won't.
He won't even have turkey meatloaf.
That's a ridiculous thing, is that there's nobody that's more dead inside penis-wise than Bean. He hasn't used it in 20 years, and it's just talk.
It's funny you should say that, Lisa, because I am very attracted to the idea of turkey meatloaf at the hotel. I mean, that really, now you're, I mean, I might as well be on To Catch a Predator, because you've laid out the trap for me. The bait is so good, I can't resist turkey meatloaf.
Really?
You know what's wrong, but I'm trying to figure out how to go get a plate of food and then go back to my room. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that, though, because it seems like it's more of a social, like, get together.
Actually is.
Of course it is, but I don't think you would meet with a lot of resistance if you said, hey, I just need some food, I'm going to go back to my room. I don't think everybody would go, no!
How can we have a party without you?
Please, no!
He acts like he doesn't do that every concert. Like, that's exactly how he does it.
I know.
That would be fantastic if I could just go get a plate and then give Lisa my room key and then head back to the room and she'd just meet me there later after she's already sauced.
Dude, when we traveled, Bean and I used to do the show from different places. We went to Loch Ness Monster, to the Lake Loch Ness.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was us and a friend of ours who was the program director at the time. And every single evening, I don't know if you remember this or not, Bean, but every single evening we would say, where do we want to go? Let's go find some great place. Let's go find a restaurant. Bean stayed in his hotel room every minute of every day that he could and just read newspapers. That
was
his...
This was even before the internet, so there was no even internet porn to keep me in the room.
He was in
just
heaven.
Newspapers.
And we would go like, you know,
that was pretty sweet.
Hey, we're in Scotland, and I don't know, there's countryside, there's restaurants, there's people, there's pubs. Let's go out and just experience any of it.
No,
I'm all right. I'm okay.
You love to travel.
I'll stay in my room.
I do. I'm more of a daytime guy, though.
You don't go out in the day either, dude. I mean, come on.
You're just saying.
You're kind of a no-time guy.
What do you like, a 2 to 4 traveler? That's it? That's what your hours?
I'm saying between breakfast and lunch, I tear it up, man.
A little crazy?
All right. Look, we have a very big show today, and I'm going to burst if I don't get to play something from To Catch a Predator before we get started.
This is last night, right? Dateline NBC?
Yes, yes. Chris Hansen, of course, he's the guy in the house that's all wired up for microphones and cameras, and they have people who chat online pretending to be underage boys and girls, and they lure predators in, and then Chris Hansen steps out. And I think in less than 1 minute, you'll get the flavor. If you've never seen To Catch a Predator, this is all you need to know about it.
As a parent, would you be okay with a 54-year-old man coming to visit a 13-year-old kid?
Of course not.
Oh, what does he expect that answer?
54-year-old.
Dude, there was a 63-year-old.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, which we'll hear from later this morning. So, Chris continues.
I honestly didn't think he was 13, and I thought about driving away when I saw him at the door.
And like so many other men in his predicament, he brings up religion.
Probably I was thinking the part of me that's Christian was going to talk him out of it.
All right, here's the best thing in the world about Chris Hansen.
What did he just say?
He was trying to save him?
No, I think he was saying that being a Christian would talk him out. Well, I don't know if he was talking about talking the boy out of it or the girl out of it or talking himself out of it. Like, he wouldn't do it because he's Christian. I'm not sure. But he thought that somehow God was going to step in and prevent this, you know, this illegal underage sex from happening.
Even though he was physically going to make it happen, the guy.
Somehow
God was going to step in and stop it.
I think he had a struggle between his body and his mind is what he's saying now. That's his story now. A lot of these guys say, oh, I just came up here with, you know, rope and condoms, but I wasn't intending to have sex. You know? So Chris Hansen, who, as you know, likes to play with the predators like a cat with a mouse, sees an opportunity here.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I love to suck play and suck play with like and I lick said, nipples and lick and
easy.
Wait, where is that in the Bible? Explain
there's,
that
to there's me. There's a human part
is that
of
the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Oh, my God.
He's not playing with him. He's just trying to find out what was in his head.
He's an investigative reporter.
Exactly.
Sure.
I'm truly sorry.
Well, I'm Chris Hansen.
Of course you are.
With Dateline NBC.
And you love
and
you.
We're doing a story on men who try to meet kids online.
That's how serious I am.
For sex.
I'm truly sorry. I have learned my lesson. Thank you for helping me with it.
And?
I'm an excellent teacher.
What?
And want to stay that way.
Oh,
he's
oh,
a
no.
teacher?
Of junior high school.
Oh, no.
Oh.
By the way, that was the assumptive close if I've ever heard one. Thanks for helping me. I totally appreciate it. I'm going to go on my way now, and
exactly.
thank
I'm glad
you
we
very
had
much.
This chat. I've learned a lesson. You won't be seeing or hearing from me again. Oh, wait, there's nothing but Dallas police outside the door.
Wow. He's a teacher.
Yeah, he is. That's a fantastic show, though. And you'll hear some highlights later. And Texas is awesome because the cameras follow the perps into the interrogation room with the police and into court. So you get to see a lot more than you do when they're in California.
Wow. I like
good
that.
Times right there.
That is good times right there.
Old Testament.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Yes, we do. Old Testament or New Testament? What's the chapter and verse on that?
Where's that in the Bible?
I love that.
Yeah, I was thinking that God might step in and stop it. Okay. Well, good luck on that. That's some faith. You want to talk about faith? There's some faith.
Yeah, no kidding.
To Catch a Predator from last night's Dateline NBC. Bean has more highlights coming up a little bit later on this morning. We also, because it is Valentine's Day, we have a K-Rock listener. And we get this email from time to time from people who are looking for K-Rock songs for their wedding, for example. And she's looking for songs for a good Valentine's romantic evening. Our music doesn't exactly lend itself to that very much, but we do have some.
Yeah,
I've got a few.
Everlong by Foo Fighters is probably, you know, the best one, the one that most people end up using for their wedding or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take some calls a little bit later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Maybe you can think of songs that we can't, but that's a good one.
My first dance song at my wedding was Date Rape by Sublime.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll take your calls a little bit later on today. Also, because it's Valentine's Day, we're going to talk to Allie Dixon, who runs the Cheaters Detective Agency.
Oh, no.
Sorry, it's Ali, yes. And he says that it is his busiest day of the year. Because if you've got someone on the side, you have to try and satisfy both. So there's a chunk of your day that's kind of missing from your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. Because you're trying to, you know, make it up to somebody else. So it's their busiest day today.
That's sad.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's really sad.
Who Hurt Bean? We're going to get into it about a half hour. You. Just after 6 o'clock, Who Hurt Bean?
Mm-hmm.
New feature we have on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lightning, give us an intro, dude. Also, we're going to talk about the Navy. They're using sea lions to handcuff people. Now, I know that that sentence sounds like it's not possible in any way, that I misspoke, but that they really are doing that, the Navy is. They're more advanced than we could ever imagine.
I can't imagine a sea lion chasing me down.
And handcuffing you. Not just
and
chasing
you your Miranda rights.
Yeah, exactly. We also have Delman Newton, who has created a new drink that is an aphrodisiac drink.
Really?
Called Fever. Apparently you drink that, you get all hot and bothered.
Oh.
Can I get some of that for the road? For tonight at Big Bear?
For tonight at Big Bear, yeah. You could drink a vat of. You could drink an entire
not for me.
Couple
for
of
Lisa.
Gallons. Oh, for Lisa, okay.
Only if there's a drug in it.
And also, he's got that plan too. And also, when you think Valentine's Day, you think Eric Schatz, our friend who is the world's greatest TV producer. Uh-huh. And he's got another special coming out called 101 More Things Found in the Human Body. And these, of course, are the stories of light bulb up the ass, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And he just finds stuff in the body. He's got another special. And I'm not sure if that one's on tonight or Ouch, That's Gotta Hurt, if that one's on tonight.
I believe positive. It's Ouch, That's Gotta Hurt.
Ouch, That's Gotta Hurt is tonight's show. So that guy does our kind of TV. We're very excited about that. And don't forget K-Rock's World Tour 2007, Destination Number 7, is Fall Out Boy in Paris.
Oui, oui.
So we will qualify you for that. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Showbiz Beat is next. Tonight, I can see it at the hotel, Big Bear. Chris Hansen's going to step out in Bean's room and say, so you're just here for the turkey meatloaf, are you? That's why you're here. You're hungry, are you?
How's that macaroni and cheese? What part of the Kraft macaroni box does it say fondle young boys? Yes, the most asinine question. What part of the Bible is that? Shut up. I don't care if that guy's a pervert. He should just smack him right in the head before the cops take him away.
I wouldn't mind.
I have a question to ask you. Come here. I want to ask you something. There. That's what part of the Bible it's in.
Right. And then the pervert can get arrested and tased and everything else.
Absolutely. Right. Even add on the charge of assault if you want. But I just want to see Hansen take it in the face once.
Yeah. Oh. Just make sure he gets his too, right?
Hey, exactly.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Wow. We're not giving away anything right now, buddy. It's 5:49 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, speaking of giveaways, you want to throw out some of these tickets?
No.
Not right this
I'm
second.
I'm just saying, do you want to? And if the answer is no, then we won't. That's fine.
I'm here's guessing the from being. The responses that no, we don't want to. Because you must have something to give away.
Exactly, okay. Kevin. Once again, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly. Right. I've got passes to the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere of Reno 911 Miami, the movie. That'll be held at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, an excellent place to watch a motion picture. Tomorrow night is the big premiere. If you'd like to go, I've got 5 pairs of tickets. The first 5 callers at 1-800-520-1067. The first 5 callers get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Reno 911 Miami, the movie. You know the very funny TV show from Comedy Central?
Now
they're up on the big screen, so you can check that out.
Ralph Garman, not only do these winners get the movie version of this very hilarious Comedy Central show.
Well, tell me more, Psycho Mike. What else do they get?
They'll get the red carpet hosted by me, Psycho Mike.
Oh, no.
Oh, we better throw something into the prize then.
And?
Is it Lightning?
No. That was last night, number 23. I'm trying to coax Lightning into doing it with me, but he won't. He's too good for me.
That's true.
So you can see Psycho Mike live and in person as he goes, here's Sarah Silverman, everybody. Put your hands together. On the red carpet. So, call now, won't you? I just want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Thank
Except
you.
For you folks in Thailand.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Police today put out a warning throughout Thailand that they will arrest anyone under the age of 18 if they're caught kissing in public.
Kissing?
It's against the law?
It's a crackdown on what's described as inappropriate behavior. No PDA if you're under 18. You go to jail for kissing.
They'll take you to a jail cell for kissing someone.
Look, these are the people who cane you for chewing gum. You know what I'm saying? This is not a fun country.
Wow.
Isn't Thailand the place where you can get a 15-year-old girl for a dollar?
Oh, sure. You can bang boys at a sex shop if you're a gay businessman from America. They can send you to a warehouse full of underage boys.
That's all fine.
But teenagers can't kiss in Thailand without going to jail.
Wow.
So, happy Valentine's Day. Speaking of Valentine's Day, Red Book Magazine has released their list of the top 10 most romantic movies. You know, chick movies are a dime a dozen, but the good ones, they live on, man.
Absolutely.
Here's the top 10 list of most romantic movies. Pretty Woman, with Julia Roberts as the best-looking whore you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I've driven up and down Hollywood Boulevard after seeing that movie. Not one whore did I see look like Julia Roberts.
Not even close, right?
Not even close.
Yeah.
Ghost. It was number 8, number 9 on the list.
Oh, that was number 10, Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
That's what came into my mind as number 1.
All right, go ahead. Ghost was number 9. Very romantic film. Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
You don't like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore on the pottery wheel?
Who'd you leave out?
Each other?
Who'd you leave out of that movie?
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg.
Yep.
Well, she won her Oscar for that, Kevin.
She blows.
Say Anything? That's a great movie. John Cusack.
Sure, mm-hmm. Is good.
Number 8. When Harry Met Sally. That might be one of my favorites. Romantic comedies with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
Great film.
The Way We Were with Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand, a classic. Love Stories, number 5. Love Stories, a horrible film.
It really is.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know that one.
It was very successful in the late 60s, early 70s when this movie came out. The book was a big hit, too, but it's horrible. But yet, it still holds up for romantics everywhere. Dr. Zhivago, starring Omar Sharif.
The Iceman.
Not the Iceman, the other one.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Sure.
Was number 3, Casablanca, number 2, and then...
Can I guess?
Sure, you can guess.
Borat.
My preference, dog style.
Yes, most romantic.
Yes.
Yes.
I like.
No?
Nice.
Gone with the Wind, number 1, not at the box office, in the Red Book magazines.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
List of most romantic movies. Howard K. Stern, Anna Nicole's Companion,
Guilty!
Probably, but right now he is battling with Fergie Arthur and Nicole's mom to get her body. They're fighting over her body.
Oh, jeez. Here it goes.
They want to release the body. CNN says that Stern is prepared to go to court if negotiations with the mother don't work out, but each is claiming the body.
Give it to the mom, because Stern will either sell it, he'll break it up into little pieces and sell it on the internet, or he'll have a viewing party where you have to pay $5 to go in and look at it, or who knows what he'll come up with to make money.
Yeah, he'll cash in somehow. I saw a little piece, finally, of that
Entertainment Tonight
interview.
Oh, my God.
What kind of guy, in the first place, says, yeah, okay, for $1 million, you can film my grief. In other words, if he really loved this woman. Who's thinking that way at that time when that happens in your life?
That guy.
He's an evil, evil bastard.
I saw some of that, too. It was awful. Did you guys see the 911 tape that they released?
No.
I heard.
Call to the 911?
Yesterday, the 31-second phone call to 911 was released by Seminole, Florida police. And they were, of course, calling 911 after the nurse discovered Anna Nicole Smith and realized she was not breathing. She put a call into 911.
I actually have that, if you. Entertainment Tonight has obtained the 911 call made by Seminole Police to the Hollywood, Florida Police around 1:38 p.m. the day Anna Nicole died. Her bodyguard administered CPR before paramedics arrived on the scene.
Hello, it's Fire Rescue.
Hi, this is Seminole Police. If you can please respond to the Hard Rock, room 607. Okay. It's going to be a reference to a white female. She's not breathing and she's not responsive. She's actually Anna Nicole Smith. If you guys can please.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Anna's body still remains in a cold medical examiner's office until a hearing on February 20th. Three men are now contesting the paternity of Anna Nicole's five-month-old daughter, Danny Lynn. An expert reportedly said
the whole report.
Decision.
No to Omar. No to Omar. Much funnier if you cut it down to the essence. And then when you insert the hilarious comedy, the inappropriate comedy, make that pop a little bit. Make that stand out so we actually hear it and it sounds separate from the call itself. He's so much funnier. Nice work, though, team.
It doesn't even make any sense that the call is saying the body's not responsive, so how is she talking?
That's when the guy just said, Anna, you should have heard in the background trying to get a response out of the body. Can someone run this stuff past me before they stick it in my report next time?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
We got a winner!
Rick's Cabaret in Houston, by the way, will be dimming their lights at the stroke of midnight to honor the passing of Anna Nicole Smith. That's the strip club where she met J. Howard Marshall.
Is that okay. Right?
All the strippers will cease their performance at midnight, and they will dim the lights and blow a goodbye kiss to Anna's spirit.
What a buzzkill that's
no,
gonna be.
No, good time in a strip club. You're getting a lap dance. Want. Hold on, sweetie. I gotta go blow a dead person a kiss. I'll be right back. See you in the VIP room. Yeah, that's not what I want in my strip clubs. Not even a little bit. Dominic Monaghan and Evangeline Lilly are getting married, according to Star Magazine.
No.
The Hobbit is getting the hottie.
Wow.
Does that seem fair to anyone?
No.
They're going to have a beautiful but low-key wedding in Hawaii this summer, claims the source, so congratulations to those two. And here's a great story. Did you watch any of that American Idol last night? They were carving it down to their final 24, you know?
No, I'm out. I'm out after the bad ones.
It's a good show, Kevin.
Gone.
It's a good show last night.
Gone.
RealityTVMagazine.com did an interview with several people in the reality TV industry, and they discovered that the hardest job in the world is being a line editor for American Idol. Now, for those of you who don't know what a line editor is, it's the person who takes the raw footage of the television show and edits it into some sort of narrative.
Right.
Apparently, they say it's the most difficult job in reality TV because the editors who work on American Idol have to watch every clip and organize it so that Paula won't come across as drunk on the show.
And how big a job would that be?
Enormous. Can you imagine how they have to manipulate that footage to make her seem cognizant?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love that story. For the record, Paula has denied
everything.
Any sort of substance or...
Well, we think that's what she was saying. We couldn't really make it out.
And we were talking about Omar Sharif yesterday, the Iceman, friend of K-Fed, who said that Britney's a bisexual.
He's the source for the In Touch magazine article, yeah.
The other Omar Sharif, the old actor from Dr. Zhivago, the 75-year-old actor, was arraigned yesterday in Beverly Hills, California. He had to plead no contest to misdemeanor battery charges and ordered to take anger management classes after he punched a parking valet who refused to accept his European currency as payment for the car. Who's bad is that at that moment? When you reach in your pocket and you've got euros and you're at Beverly Hills at a restaurant and you want your car back.
Certainly not the valets.
No, don't punch that guy. He's not the problem.
That guy should punch you.
75-year-old actor punching valets because they won't take his money.
But on the upside, he got to see Britney making out with a chick.
That's true. Wait a minute. You're
different guy.
Gilligan.
That's the other one.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch. May I say, at 73 years old, still an attractive woman.
Mm. Yeah, for 73, you bet.
For 73, Kevin. Yeah. If you've seen her lately, she holds up pretty good.
I don't really have the 473 category.
I know you don't.
Kevin thinks anyone who's at least 1 year older than he is too old to live.
Should be put down.
Nah, come on, but 73.
Luckily for him, that scale keeps sliding.
But yep. 73. Come on.
I'm just saying. No, you wouldn't want to have sex with her. But compared to other 73 years old, you can still see she's an attractive woman.
Yeah, she looks great for her age.
Yeah, okay. Just objectively, you could say that, couldn't you?
No, there's no
objective. We're not asking you to bang her. We're just saying, for 73, she looks fantastic, Kevin.
I'm saying it's subjective.
For a woman to still be any bit attractive at 73 is an achievement. Wouldn't you say, Kevin?
I just threw up in my mouth.
We'll never get him to see this point of view at all. Teller from Penn and Teller's 59
now
years
old.
Now he's hot. He is. How about Dwayne Wiggins from Tony?
How does he even make the list?
It's a slow birthday day. He's 46. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 is 35. Freddie Highmore, who played the little boy in Finding Neverland. Boy, that was a great movie with Johnny Depp. He's 15 years old today. And Pat O'Brien, or a pal P.O.B., as they say over there in The Insider. Pat O'Brien celebrates his 59th birthday. Oh, I got an invitation to his party. I cannot wait to go.
You did.
Apparently, the anorexic twins from Australia are going to be there. World's fattest man's bringing the cake. The awesome. The dog-faced plastic surgery girl, she's going to be there. There's going to be somebody with no torso that just pushes himself around in the arms. It's going to be just the best freak show in Hollywood. I can't wait.
I got a message from Pat, but I couldn't make out why he was saying
this. Maybe he was inviting you to the party.
Yeah.
I want to fucking make it crazy. If you get this message, just look at me and say yes.
All right. Yes.
Great. See you at the party tonight. It's going to be great. Ralph Garman and Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Tomorrow morning at this time, we are going to be home for Bean. We're going to be living the life that Bean always loves to live. When he can get out on the slopes.
Such a freaking ski bum.
And just shred it. I mean, that guy tears it up.
Remember how his father threw him out of the house when he was a teenager because all he wanted to do was be a ski bum.
He wanted
to move to Aspen and just teach. And he said,
"Guys,
you'll never make a living that way, son. You have to have a fallback." And he said, "Okay, I'll get into broadcasting."
I don't really ski. I don't anticipate skiing.
Snowboarding. No, I'm sorry. I'm snowboarding. I'm sorry. I didn't mean skiing.
I don't think I'm going to be really on the mountain as much as I'm going to be around the fire with hot chocolate. I think that's really more my speed. So, yeah.
You're going to start a fire in your hotel room?
If you would like to join K-Rock as we storm Bear Mountain all day long, and it's not just the Kevin and Bean Show, the whole day, the whole station is broadcasting live from up there. We have lift tickets. Now, listen up before you pick up the phone and dial. These lift tickets are only good for tomorrow. So if you can't get off work or can't make it there tomorrow, don't call, because we want people to be able to use them. But 1-800-520-1067. You don't just get the free lift tickets for Bear Mountain. You're welcome to stop on by the broadcast, see all of us all day long, and enjoy free performances from Mickey Avalon on our show, then Seosin later in the day, and Bullet for My Valentine, too. It's all free and open to the public, and we'll take some calls while they last right now. 1-800-520-1067.
So as Valentine's Day approaches, Bean gets angrier and angrier. And he's about to explode. And we need to find out who hurt
That's
him.
That's not true.
We need to find out who hurt Bean, because I understand where you're coming from the standpoint of, if somebody tells you that you have to do something, most of us, our initial reaction is, watch me not.
Well, doesn't it depend on the thing they're asking you to do?
It does, of course. I'm saying that's just a generalization. That's just like a typical, probably male, reaction is, don't tell me I can't do that. I'm going to show you wrong. But Valentine's Day is something that drives Bean out of his freaking mind, and he has just been livid off the air.
There is an inappropriate reaction for him.
It's too much anger.
To Valentine's Day, yes. No. Inappropriate hatred.
Who hurt you?
First of all,
did you get raped by a cherub when you were young?
First of all, every day is Valentine's Day at my house. So this really doesn't have as much to do with me as it has to do with the, this is the case with a lot of holidays too, with the media assault on you around Valentine's Day. I mean, you can't turn on the radio or watch the TV without seeing poor, desperate guys going, oh, I have to buy jewelry for my wife or my girlfriend, but what do I buy? You know, I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar campaign to get guys to go out and buy stuff for their chicks. And my problem is that it doesn't seem to me like it's fairly advertised as being what it should be, which is about a couple, which is about two people, like a two-way street. It seems to be completely one way to me. And that's what it doesn't seem sincere in the way it's advertised.
Well, I suppose advertisers do that because women aren't going to buy men rings. So they're just being smart in their advertising.
Right.
They know make the money. That doesn't mean you have to do it.
No, but have you heard one example of a radio or television commercial that was advertising toward women to get something for their man for Valentine's Day? I don't think it exists.
But
it's a one-way holiday.
But are you bound by that commercial? Do you have to do what that commercial says?
Or is this Thailand? Sometimes we break away and we do things.
You can't just ignore it?
I will tell you, though, that I think that the majority of, you know, guys don't care that much about getting stuff for Valentine's Day, but women go ballistic if they don't get something for Valentine's Day.
You know,
Day.
Guys may not care, but I bet a lot, probably 70% of women who have boyfriends or husbands get something for them for Valentine's Day.
I think so,
whether
too.
Guys care or not. And isn't that
I think
the
in
point,
most
right?
couples, there is an exchange of at least cards or some little token gift or something.
My wife knows that I love cookies, so she sends cookies every year. Yesterday, she sent chocolate-covered strawberries because she wasn't sure if we were going up to Bear Mountain today or whatever.
And we all enjoyed them.
And they're fantastic. And that's what I love. I don't
it's
need
a
any,
nice gesture.
Anything more than that. It's just
it's sweet.
Where's the bad, Bean, in a day that's focusing on at least stopping for a moment and going to your significant other and saying, hey, I love you. I think about you on this day. Here's a nice something.
I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way that somebody's telling you, hey, you have to express affection or appreciation for the person in your life.
They're not saying you have to. They're just reminding you, hey, this would be a good time to do that.
No, do you get pissed off when it's your wife's birthday and you have to give her a gift and take her to
on
dinner?
On that day.
Oh, geez.
I hate freaking Christmas because kids are like,
birthday.
Ooh, I want gifts on Christmas morning. You give them all year long. You feed them. You clothe them. Then on Christmas morning, ooh, I want toys, those little bags. Bastards. I hate Christmas for that reason. They make us give children things.
Ask Omar to step in, too, by the way, because he was telling us a story off the air that perfectly demonstrates what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see.
Hey,
call the terrorists when you need backup. Is that what you're saying, B?
Bringing in the Taliban backup.
You know, birthday, I don't feel the same way about a birthday because I look at, like, my wife's birthday, for instance, which is, like, the 14th or 15th or 16th or something of September. I look at that as her day. I mean, as a day that really is kind of unique of all the people I know to her.
And what's so hard about this? Why don't you just treat it the same way as that? Why don't you just say this is her day? Why not?
Omar, tell me what you're a real-time example of what I'm talking about with Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. We celebrated Valentine's Day this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. After my girlfriend got off of work and I planned this big day, I took her out to Disneyland, you know, all by surprise, and I got nothing. But I don't care.
But you
obviously.
Don't care.
You don't seem bitter at all.
You're upset that you got nothing.
I took her to Disneyland. I got nothing.
No, I'm not bitter whatsoever because you know what? You know what the deal is? Is that she... She wants me to get her something specifically for Valentine's Day, although I get her throughout the year all kinds of stuff. But on this particular day, I have to get her something or do something. If I don't, she would be upset. If she doesn't do anything, whatever.
If you're a super boyfriend and you're giving her all the time, then what difference does it make if you also do it on February the 14th? Where are you pulling muscle on this big stretch?
I mean, it's not like huge deal or whatever.
It isn't.
But why the hell do I have to?
Here's his question. Wow. His question is
because you love her and it'll make her happy.
Why is he not upset really, but she would be way, 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 way upset? Why is that unbalanced? That's
women
what he's upset about.
Women are different than men that way. I mean, that's just basic.
Here's what I'd like to say, though. Omar and Bean have both made the comment that they give to their girls all year long. And I just like to say that that's completely 100% false.
It's way true. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you give her something every once in a while. Every day is, like Bean says, every day is Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah, Bean is Mr. Sensitive.
The guy who spends separate vacations from his wife every day is Valentine's Day up on the island. It's Love Island up there.
She doesn't want to go anywhere that I want to go.
I'm on Bean and Omar's side, of course, you know, because I hate. But I don't think it's a matter of wanting the holiday to go away and being upset about lavishing your girlfriend or your wife in gifts for a day. It's the fact that it's penned as a mutual holiday. And I think that if they just changed it to Saint Lavish Your Whore in Gifts Day instead of making it Valentine's Day, which is clearly...
My favorite saint of all was that one, by the way.
You know, it shouldn't be penned as this mutual holiday because it's clearly not a mutual holiday.
Right. I don't know who's doing the penning or how it's penned, but I don't know any woman who doesn't give something to her husband or boyfriend on Valentine's Day.
I don't know one
who completely ignores their man on Valentine's Day and expects something in return.
Omar.
There you go.
You know what'll
happen? What'll be said is like, oh, we got to spend the whole day at Disneyland together. Isn't that Valentine's Day enough?
Your girlfriend sucks. But
let me tell you why Psycho Mike is my hero, by the way.
Why is Psycho Mike your hero?
Psycho Mike did break down and send a bouquet of flowers to his wife yesterday.
Yeah,
am I not allowed to say this?
Hasn't arrived yet, so.
Oh, actually,
she's not awake. She's not awake. So go ahead.
All okay, right. tell the kids what you put in the card, Mike.
Kevin's wife sent over those beautiful chocolate covered strawberries, and I'm looking at them like that would be great. Jenny loves chocolate covered strawberries, so I went online, I ordered it right then and there, and I sent it to her office, and I put on the card. Now share these with the other needy and desperate whores in your office.
Well, that's romantic.
Hey, Bean, does your wife give you a card or anything
that's a good question.
For Valentine's Day?
You don't ever get anything?
You get nothing from her? Actually, she does.
Well, then what's all screaming about a one-way street?
It's
been penned.
I told you at the start of the conversation that it doesn't have anything to do with me. Society in general, it seems like it's a way one-sided thing, and I just think it's false advertising.
Well, no one cares more about society than you, Bean. I know you're all about the people. All about others.
Bean has the TV and the radio on 24 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
So he's accosted with advertising. Apparently, that is how he lives his life. Most of us don't.
Most of us can ignore that if we see it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We turn off the TV.
Here's my solution. I was thinking about this yesterday, and here's what I think happened. When Bean was younger than 15, before he can remember, he says he can't remember a thing before he was 15.
Right.
He had a crush on a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. And it was Valentine's Day. And so he sat at home, made little crafts, cut out little hearts and stuff, and drew on it, I love you, Bean. And he handed it to her, and she didn't want anything to do with it. So she threw it back in his face.
He's Charlie Brown.
Yes.
She was a little redheaded girl.
Yes.
I see.
That's what happened when he was young. And since that day, he's traumatized.
Or they had those class situations where everyone was trading Valentines, you know, and you had to put it in the box on the desk of the person, and he got no Valentines at school.
Of course he didn't.
Everyone else did.
Right.
But not him.
That's what happened.
I'm just saying.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
We have some calls on hold that would like to take Bean's side.
Actually. Oh, really?
Yes.
Angry, angry, angry men.
1-800-520-1067. And we'll take those calls next.
We are taking some calls here this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Daniel, by the way, who was first through to have my back. Basically, what I'm saying is that Valentine's Day, which is supposed to be a couple's holiday, somehow has turned into a one-way street. I think it's all for the chicks, is what I think. Daniel, what do you think? You're on K-Rock.
I completely agree. I think that the way that it's presented isn't a couple's holiday at all. Oh, sorry. Morning, Kevin Bean.
Hey, Daniel.
Okay, Daniel, do you have a girlfriend or wife?
No. Yes, I have a girlfriend.
And does she do nothing for you for Valentine's Day?
No, it's not that at all. It's,
well, then what?
Everybody complains, and everybody has
Daniel and Bean both say their women are great, and they give them something, too, but it's a one-way street. I'm not happy about it.
Get over the perception and deal with the reality of it, which is it's a couple's holiday.
Boo, Daniel.
Let's go to James in Burbank. Good morning, James.
Hey, how you guys doing? Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, James.
We are good. You ate the Valentine's Day as well?
Bah humbug. I hate it.
Because
why?
I think it's a conspiracy that all the chocolate companies and all the flower companies came up with together to make us men spend a bunch of money on crap that women don't really need. You know, a $70 bouquet of flowers costs normally about $40, and it's hiked the prices up around now so they can rake the money in.
Well, there's no question that companies take advantage of it, just like wedding companies take advantage of a bride. This is her only shot. They jack their prices through the roof. But let me just ask you guys, all of you guys, something. Don't you kind of get the feeling that your woman is probably a little bit more giving and considerate and thoughtful than you are most of the year? Because that's the way I feel about myself. So even though they're telling me I have to, it would probably balance the scales a little bit if I did. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not exactly out there being more thoughtful than she is throughout the year.
I do make, you so guys you know, only have this public perception of me, but I do make an extraordinary effort to be thoughtful as much as possible throughout the year. I don't feel like I have anything to atone for on Valentine's Day.
I'm not saying atone, Bean.
To address
saying
James's question, though, if he were to do the smart thing and buy the flowers a week early when they're half price, his girlfriend would not be satisfied with that because Valentine's Day would still come around this week and she'd still feel left out, I bet. Even though he already got her a dozen roses last week, she'd still be pissed off today.
Who hurt you?
I'm just saying.
James, who
I'm
hurt you?
I'm just
saying.
Getting pissed off.
James?
Yes.
Who hurt you?
Who am I?
Who hurt you?
Oh, who hurt me?
Yeah.
We
heard
you.
Yeah. All right, James, thank you. I think he didn't get it.
If you don't want to spend the 30 extra bucks for flowers, then buy a card and put together a picnic lunch for your girl and take her out someplace to a park and do something for her that doesn't involve the extra 30 bucks.
Absolutely. You don't have to buy a bouquet of roses.
Most women are much more offended and hurt if they are forgotten on Valentine's Day than by what the actual material thing is that they receive on that day. What they want to do is to be appreciated and to be noticed and be remembered on that day versus what they're going to put a monetary value on whatever they're receiving from you.
Robert in Venice, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. How you
doing? Hi, Robert. Good.
Valentine's Day.
And, I beg to differ 100% with what you just said.
Okay.
My girlfriend, or ex-girlfriend now, I should say, is very loving, and she gave me a wonderful gift when she dumped me a couple days before Valentine's Day, but
so we know who heard him.
To when I told her about 2 weeks ago that I've been having trouble at work and I couldn't afford her a gift. All I could do is take her out to a nice dinner, and she reluctantly accepted it because that's all she could do.
Right.
She was very unhappy with the fact that she didn't get a commercial item or the matching earrings to the necklace I gave her for Christmas.
Well, then she's a bad person, but it's not the holiday's fault.
Okay, thanks for the call.
I do think there are a lot of women like his ex-girlfriend, though. I think there are an awful lot out there.
Don't be with them.
But you say it's not you, but where does all the hate come from?
I've been telling you all along it's not me. This has nothing to do with me.
You are the least.
It just doesn't.
And we'll take a vote
here. Let's get a woman's perspective.
We will, but let me just state this. You are the least sensitive person any of us have ever met in our lives.
None of you are married to me, though.
I'm sure it's completely different.
And it certainly isn't. And you've heard Psycho Mike say that same thing, that he's completely different with his wife.
Yeah, but then he sends her a card and says, share these with the other desperate horrors at your work. So he's really not all that different than he is.
Well,
neither are you.
That. Terry in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
All right, we're going to have the voice of the girl now. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us about Valentine's
Day. I totally agree that this is a crock of the day. First of all, men are told what to buy and that they have to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the women that get the stuff, all it is bragging rights.
Oh, so it's like, so each girl can ask the other girl, what'd you get? And she can say, I got so-and-so, and whoever has the best story wins?
Exactly.
Is that what you do on Valentine's Day?
It's a crock.
Is that what you do on Valentine's Day?
No, I do nothing.
You said all women do that, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. I should say majority.
Everyone except for Terry from Huntington Beach.
Everybody he calls, it's everyone except them.
Yeah. I know. It's always the holiday's
fault somehow. It's not that you're a bad person or that you are in a bad relationship with a bitch or an a-hole.
Well,
somehow it's February 14th's fault.
I think people are talking about a lot of people that they know or meet or have heard of or work with or something like that. I think people are qualified to speak about other people that they have personal experience
with. Well, I have a lot of personal experiences, and that hasn't been the case. So does that mean that I'm automatically right?
And I don't feel bad if some girl comes in and goes, look at these beautiful earrings that my husband bought me for Valentine's Day. It doesn't make whatever happened with me less.
You say good for you.
Yeah,
well,
whatever.
Here's the thing, Dean, and here's what we don't understand, I think. This is, at least I'm speaking for myself, is that you can look at somebody else's experience and say, wow, that kind of sucks. But you don't have that anger that seems to be coming out of you unless it has something to do with you. That deep-seated anger that you're so pissed off.
Can feel that way, but in this case, and I have the authority to say this, you are incorrect. You are assuming incorrectly. You are wrong in this case.
So you're taking the little man's side.
No, I'm not taking that. I'm just telling you, the truth of the matter is this doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has to do with, in general, the perception that I get of Valentine's Day from the things that I see and hear.
Based on advertising.
It is not a two-way street. That's all I said.
You know what? Lisa's right, is that it is based on advertising.
It's all
because
based on that.
Bean doesn't leave his house, which means he only has his wife and TV and internet advertising to live by.
And he can't live with the K commercials anymore for the jewelers.
K Jewelers. I can't believe it. I don't want anything from K Jewelers.
Every kiss does not begin with K.
That's the problem, is he doesn't see anyone else or meet anyone else.
I absolutely think so.
However, in this small group of people that we have here, Mike is with me, Omar is with me, we talked to a number of callers who are with me. I'm not the only person who has had this thought.
Yeah, and yet none of them actually say that they're gypped on Valentine's Day.
Who hurt you?
Nobody hurt me. I was thinking this national security thing is getting out of control because I don't feel that people are doing a good enough job, and I think it's time to start turning it over to the animals, don't you?
Yeah, me too. There's a naval base called Kitsap Bangor on the Puget Sound close to Seattle. There's a naval base there, and they have submarines and ships and laboratories even.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out how to make sure that it's safe. And one of the problems that they're coming up against is how do they keep swimmers, scuba divers, from approaching it from the water?
Oh, yeah.
So what they've decided is they're going to put dolphins and sea lions out there.
Now, I should jump in and say, because there are people who know the history of this program, that this is not from the Weekly World News.
No.
This is an Associated Press news story. In fact, the front page of the Seattle Times, because this naval base you're talking about is here in the Seattle region, the front page of the Seattle Times yesterday was, Navy wants dolphins and sea lions to protect us. And you look at that and you go, well, on the surface, I don't know that they can even hold a gun. I don't know how that's going to help.
Here's what they do. Dolphins, they have astonishing sonar abilities. So they'll see a scuba diver and they can be trained to drop a beacon. And then the Navy can say there's somebody there. Let's
no
go get him.
No kidding.
But
that's amazing.
That's nothing compared to the sea lion.
Really?
The sea lion, and this again is from the AP. This is not from some cheap, fly-by-night news source. The sea lions can carry in their mouths special handcuffs attached to long ropes, this article says. If the animal finds a rogue swimmer, it can clamp the cuff around the person's leg. And then kind of give a little tug, and then the Navy can reel them in like a fish.
So you got caught by a sea lion? That's
yes.
going to be your story?
Yes.
You can teach a sea lion to collar a perp.
To handcuff somebody. And they don't have hands.
I don't understand how they do that.
I don't either, but it's a true story. Do the sea lions take them back to headquarters and beat a confession out of them, too?
I don't think
so. It seems like they could.
The Navy says they eventually hope to downsize the program and replace it with machines, but that's only because they haven't seen Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
That can go all bad.
You know, this is remarkable. I know that dolphins are very smart. They're, you know, I think after monkeys, aren't they, Lisa? Aren't they the smartest
animal? I believe that's right, yeah.
But, I mean, how do you train them to only react and drop a beacon if they see a person? When you think about how much is swimming, I mean, if they see another big fish or something, they don't get distracted and think, oh, that's a person, I'll drop it. I mean, how do they determine at great distance what it is that's swimming? It's remarkable if they can really do this.
And if they're that smart, why aren't they handcuffing the perps? You know, they got the sea lions out there doing it. Yeah, so we had Lightning line up somebody from the naval base. Good morning. This is a, is this a sea lion in the program we were talking about?
Yeah, bitch.
So the sea lions can not only handcuff rogue divers, but they can answer the phone and talk.
That's right. You got a problem with that?
No, not at all. I think it's great.
I didn't think so.
We just didn't realize the talents that you had as a sea lion.
Well, realize. Recognize, mother.
You know, it seems like we should understand much more about sea lions because we always think about dolphins being smart, dogs being smart, pigs being smart. We don't think much about the sea lion.
Dolphins are bitches.
Yeah.
They got blowholes. I got no blowholes.
I was not aware. I was not aware that sea lions came in a black form.
What color are we?
What? Brown?
Mother effing color are we?
Well, I think you're brown.
That's right.
I don't
know. Right. We're brown, okay. And we're proud of it.
All right. Huh? Okay. All right.
White devil.
Hey, how... Wait a minute.
Oh, I didn't know you were brown. You choose not to see me.
No,
you choose not to recognize me. I am here. I will cuff your ass and bring you in.
Let us ask you about that. How do you handcuff somebody?
Listen, I got excellent sense of smell, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I smell one of you white devils in the water, I will swim up to your ass and cuff you. And they will pull you in like a big white-ass fish.
Okay. What if it's not a white person?
Well, then we talk about it. I say, what are you doing out here, brother?
That's not being reasonable.
Explain yourself.
Yeah.
And they got a good enough explanation, then, you know, work something out.
Then you let them go.
That's right.
I see.
Unless they're wearing a turban.
And then?
Then lights out.
I don't know that people scuba dive with the turban.
Make a lot easier for me if they did.
Yes, it would.
I'd
yes, it would.
Say, hey, that guy's got a turban on. Can't be up to no good. But I've been trained, man. I can smell. I like 50 yards. I can smell a person and I go cuff them.
Is that right?
I've been schooled.
Okay.
But sometimes I get confused. Once I thought I had Britney Spears, turned out to be a school of tuna.
Oh, no.
Sometimes the nose can't tell.
I guess sometimes.
Sometimes it's just a stinky bitch. Stinky bitch, by the way, playing Coachella.
Yes,
check them out.
You guys see the video on the Today Show earlier this week of that Australian skydiver whose parachutes didn't open and he ended up, he had videotaped, he had a camera on his helmet, videotaped the whole thing on the way down until he hit the ground?
Yeah, I did see that, and he's okay. Yeah.
Really?
He's okay.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
He lived to survive.
Is he a cheerleader on Heroes?
No.
He had a backup chute, and apparently it still got caught, but it slowed him down enough, and he landed in some brush. I don't know exactly.
Oh, my God.
Crazy looking.
I suspect that that's some of the video that we're going to see on an all-new special called That's Gotta Hurt, which airs tonight on the TLC channel. We'll talk to the executive producer of that show, Eric Schatz, one of our favorites. See, guy makes great television. That's coming up after the news. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
See, if that was happening to me, my fall would have been cushioned by the enormous amount of poop in my pants.
I know.
When I would have landed on the ground, I would have been like a giant airbag of poop. Because I would just empty everything inside of me as I was plummeting towards Earth.
Yeah, he was just fine. He was just like, I'll be all right. He does that all the time, so he wasn't even
hits
scared.
The ground like
no,
that.
But skydives.
Yeah, but it's a little different when you're skydiving and when your chutes aren't opening. It's not much skydiving as skydying.
I know, I hear you.
That's bad. Who wants to be a superhero?
You?
Yes. It is.
Garman.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the second season of the Sci-Fi Channel's reality TV show. Who Wants to Be a Superhero? It is coming
back. Come on.
Thank the Lord Jesus, it's coming back.
That was a poor show, Ralph.
You're a bad person and a liar.
Who won the last one? I don't remember.
It was,
this is where people make up their own superhero. They need their own costume, their own powers, their own backstory, everything.
I can't remember the guy.
guy's name? Vaporlock. No, what the hell was he?
Dr. Vaporlock.
Dr. Freezerburn. I forget. I can't remember the guy.
He'll make your hands really cold.
But the deal is you get your own comic book, and then they do a TV movie based on your superhero over there on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Why don't you enter?
Why don't I?
That would be awesome.
Because I just go as Batman, and they say he already exists.
Do that.
I know. That's why I'd be bad. That's okay. The only guy I want to be, really.
All right.
Why don't you go as a Poopy Pants guy or something?
That's a good idea. If you have an idea for a superhero, dress up in your own superhero costume. You might be chosen to be on the second season of this TV show. You're going to have to reveal the true nature of your superhuman powers. You're going to have to interview with them and tell them why you want to be a superhero, what it means to you. And if you're a finalist, you get to move into the secret lair and compete against the other superheroes. This is for 18 years or older, and if you'd like to audition, they're happening Friday and Saturday this week at Universal Studios CityWalk from 1 to 3 p.m. on Friday and Saturday this week. So go to sci-fi.com for more information, but I'm going to be down there, I think, just interviewing some people, because remember last time when I went?
Made a note. We need to do interviews.
I met some very interesting characters down there at the audition, so...
It's like American Idol, the bad singers, you know? Yeah. These people make up their own superheroes, and they're terrible.
Yeah, there's some interesting choices last time I went down there. Sports Illustrated Magazine swimsuit edition's out on stands this morning. On the cover, Beyonce.
Oh, no kidding.
Beyonce?
In a bikini. How do you like that?
Lighting, why don't we have that?
Back to you.
Not driving a car.
If you want to go to SI's website, you can check out a few of the pictures if you're too cheap to buy the magazine for yourself. But I recommend you picking up the issue because that's always entertaining right
there. Yes, it is.
Boobs.
Is that the same issue where they always have the sports stars and their significant others?
Yes.
They do that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which is bogus.
Although some of these guys have smoking hot wives.
Yeah, but
usually
so
it's the
just
baseball
show them.
Players or the NASCAR drivers are the ones with the hottest wives.
Great, just show their wives.
But I'm interested to see, you know, what kind of tail these guys are pulling.
Gizay.
Mike, who's the wife that you're hot for that is married to the sports star?
Philadelphia Eagle, Jeff Garcia's wife.
His fiance.
Oh, yeah. 2004 Playmate of the Year, Carmela DeCesar, is so hot. It's unbelievable, because he's not a handsome man, Jeff Garcia. But
if you overlook the fangs and the receding hairline.
Yeah. But I guess being a quarterback in the NFL has its perks.
Yeah, I guess it does.
And his alleged gayness.
Hey.
That's why he had to get somebody super hot.
You're so wrong. What's that? Who's that? The pitcher who was with the Mets? Benson?
Oh, yeah. Benson.
Yeah, right.
Anna Benson was
Anna
his
Benson.
Wife. She's a big loudmouth.
Yeah, but she's hot, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's on stands now. Britney Spears, she's just been on a tear lately. Did you see the video from TMZ.com of her throwing up in the back of the SUV after partying?
No.
It's the best.
Not since she threw up in the front seat of the car with that dude.
That's right. This was different. She was out with a girlfriend, and they pull up in this SUV, and there's some kind of scuffle going on, and then they usher her into the club, and the paparazzi turn their cameras into the back seat, and you just see a giant of what looks like used Patron all over the floor.
I just threw up.
And then on her latest stop on her nightclub tour, she was at a place called One Little West 12th Street. It's a nightclub in New York City, and she was dancing around, drinking Patron, they say, and she decided that she wanted to wear what the go-go dancers were wearing.
Excellent.
So she went down to their locker room, got completely naked, and swapped clothes with one of the dancers, came back out in a bikini that the girls were wearing in the go-go dance area.
Right.
Then didn't care for that, went down, took the rest of her clothes off, and borrowed a T-shirt from one of the busboys, and just pretty much danced in that for the rest of the night. Just a T-shirt.
Ralph, is she aware that she's in the middle of a custody hearing for her two small children?
Apparently not.
Where are her two small children?
The police are currently searching in the puddle of vomit to see if they can find any of the children.
Oh,
in
my
there.
God. Man.
Puddle of vomit, by the way.
And
we've got a new bionic woman.
We do. Oh, yeah, you've been talking about this for a while. They've been looking for somebody.
Yeah, they're doing, for a long time we've been hearing that they're going to do a remake of The $6 Million Man. It's supposed to be a motion picture. I know Jim Carrey was attached to the project for one time, but apparently that's on the back burner. But they're doing a TV version, a remake of The Bionic Woman is coming back. And Michelle Ryan is her name. She's a British actress, best known for being on the British soap opera The EastEnders. She's 22 years old.
Did you say they're doing another TV version of it?
Yeah, it's going to be a TV.
Oh, okay.
TV series.
I thought you were talking about a movie.
No, this one's going to be for TV. So she will be the new Jamie Summers, who, as you all know,
what happened?
Got her bionic powers because she was terribly injured in a skydiving accident when her parachute didn't open.
Really?
See how I've come full circle?
Full circle.
Wow. How about that? Take that to your broadcasting class.
to teach the kids how to sum up.
Done.
Thank you.
He'll just play that clip for years and years.
See what he did there? You see? Yes. Sweet. Nice.
Circle of life right there on display.
Today's celebrity birthday is Florence Henderson. She, of course, is Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch. She is also a licensed therapist.
A hypnotherapist.
Well, sure, there's that, but don't be picky. She's 73 years old today. Teller of Penn & Teller's 59. Freddie Highmore, who was the little kid from Finding Neverland and other movies, he is 15 years old today. And Pat O'Brien, our pal Pat O'Brien from The Insider, P.O.B., as Lara Spencer calls him, he is 59 years old today. And he's busy searching for the next medical oddity to put on tonight's show.
Yes, he is.
Because there's not enough Anna Nicole Smith to fill a half hour.
Or maybe he's making
but
a call.
But they'll still... Hey, you.
You're so f***ing hot.
Oh, thanks.
Before you go, there's one thing you need to know.
No, 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 Chris.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on adults who meet kids on the internet for sex.
Oh, okay, that's all right. He was of age.
Just a hamburger, huh? Having a hamburger with a 13-year-old?
Ass. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, some people begin their career, and then they kind of fumble around for a while until they finally find what works for them. And then as soon as they find that, they're off. Their trajectory is right to the stars.
Right.
Why, whatever could you be talking about, Kevin?
Our next guest, Eric Schatz, who's an executive TV producer. He did Murphy Brown in the 90s, Behind Closed Doors with Joan London, Kids Say the Darndest Things, Travel Channel BS. And then he found Man vs. Beast. And Man vs. Beast, of course, one of our all-time favorite shows. That's the one where they had midgets pulling an airplane and an elephant pulling the other airplane exactly the same size. They were racing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
that's
when he found his groove. And he went on to do the first annual Miss Dog Beauty Pageant. And then Eric did Animal Kidding. And then he did Race to the Altar. And then he did a show called That's Just Wrong. And then he followed that up with The Littlest Groom and then Food Wars. He did a show in 2005 called Who Gets the Dog? He did another show in 2005 called Fire Me, Please.
I remember that with World's Worst Employees, yes.
And then he got into the 101 Things Removed from the Human Body. Such a big hit, he followed it up with 101 More Things Removed from the Human Body. And then he did the My War Diary, you might remember.
Yes.
And now he's back, ladies and gentlemen, with 101 More Things Removed from the Human Body.
Ah, this guy is my messiah. Eric Schatz, president of LMNO Productions and executive producer of 101 More Things Removed from the Human Body, and his new show tonight called That's Gotta Hurt. Eric, how you been, man? What's going on?
Fantastic. Everything's going well. Ready for Valentine's Day.
That's gotta hurt. Well, nothing says Valentine's Day like That's Gotta Hurt. Now, That's Gotta Hurt is, this is an all new show. We don't know anything about it, but this is not the same as That's Just Wrong. That was a different show, right?
Yeah, completely different show, although there are pieces that could go into each show.
Right.
Not that we're playing the same card. This is people that, originally the show was called Is That a Nail in Your Head?
Oh, Is That a Nail in Your Head?
And the network thought it was a little harsh and changed it to That's Gotta Hurt.
All right. Wait a minute. Eric. TLC all of a sudden has standards when they're putting this stuff on? Come on.
No, we're saving that title for our international version.
Okay.
Our international friends.
All right.
But tonight's is called Falling Hard, and it's a bunch of stories about people that fell really hard.
It's funny you would say that, because Bean was just asking me a couple of minutes ago if I saw the video yesterday of the guy on the news whose parachute didn't open.
Yeah.
And he had a camera on his helmet, and you can see him go all the way down to the ground.
God.
We have one of those stories, except our guy, his chute opened. He just didn't see the power wires, and the power lines clipped his chute.
Oh, no.
Cutting the chute off, and he videotaped himself falling all the way down.
Excellent. Wow. Did he pop up and say, I'm fine, I'm okay?
It's the worst sound you've ever heard in your life.
When he hits?
Horrible.
Is he dead? Do you?
No, he's alive. Right. He had 13 surgeries. He's up walking.
All right.
Everyone in our shows live. I mean, that's our big thing, is that these are all about survival stories.
And so the whole show, amazing. It's all falls, Eric? Everybody's falling off buildings or falling out of the sky?
The most intense fall is a pregnant woman is throwing the laundry down from her second floor.
Yeah.
And sort of goes over with the laundry, falls over the balcony, and impales herself on a microphone stand.
Oh my God.
What is she doing with a microphone stand outside her house?
Well, it was inside the house, and it was, you know what? I don't know. She was part of a band.
She had a microphone stand. That's unfortunate.
It took her, the microphone stand, the baby, everything was fine. They went and actually laparoscopically fixed it. It's about the people that saved the lives. Do the thing. And it's unbelievable. I mean, you cannot believe the x-rays or the video that we have. We have one or the other on these shows.
Well, that's the thing.
It's not real.
That's the thing, because I watched both of the 101 More Things, you know, removed from the human body. The x-rays are unbelievable. Like, you can't believe the person wasn't killed instantly when this, you know, in some cases, a 14-inch piece of metal goes right through their chest. It's just, they really are miracles that these people are still alive to talk about the stories.
Yeah. And in the new 101, we have a few extra special things. We saved all the RFOs, which are the technical term that we all talk about for rectal foreign objects.
Sure, yeah. RFOs.
How do we not know what an RFO is?
We had to go to Costa Rica to find them this year, though.
Really?
It's a long way to go, but you know what? It's worth it.
It's worth the trip, yeah. No
Eric, Eric, Costa Rican prison, what they do is they x-ray all their inmates and found 5 cell phones.
Oh, yes. We saw that story in the news.
In one guy or in 5 different guys?
In 5 different guys. It was like a party line.
Wow. And one guy had a charger up there, too, remember? I mean, for real. The guy had a cell phone charger.
It was the whole deal.
I guess you would need that, right? Because once it runs out, it runs out.
You guys know all the reveals.
All right, listen. You have to take... No, you take the charger. All right, rock, paper, scissors. Here's a clip from tonight's show. That's gotta hurt. And this sounds painful, and we would suggest don't do this at home.
As he backed up, Mike lost his balance and tumbled directly into the horseshoe pit. The force of his fall drove the 1-inch diameter horseshoe post deep into his backside, nearly forcing its way through his groin. Mike was impaled and unable to pull himself off the metal spike.
Yeah.
Mike's fine.
Through his ass.
Do you have an orchestra standing by that provides all the dramatic music for your recreations? I mean, you got a band or something that plays, right?
We have an amazing, amazing group of people that put the music together, the whole deal. I mean, we have people giving up their Valentine's to bring you this stuff.
Well, this is what you want to see on Valentine's Day. What you do is you get your woman some chocolates and maybe order a little dinner, maybe make a little dinner for her, and you sit down in front of the TV and you watch That's Gotta Hurt. People getting impaled and falling out of the sky. I guess you've got a skier that a lot of guys jump out of a helicopter and start skiing that way.
Yeah.
We've had, you cannot believe the things that, you know, you go, well, we just couldn't find another story. And you keep getting these stories and you go, you can't believe that people do this and actually survive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, Eric. I think of you often in the tremendous work you're doing on television, because you really are the best producer in TV right now. And I know this is sick and it's wrong, but I almost hope to fall off a roof or something and be impaled just so that I can be on your show, because it would be such a badge of honor. I mean, I may call you, Eric, before I call 911 if it ever happens to me.
It's not that we're ambulance chasers, but we were thinking about heading up to Bear Mountain tomorrow just in case.
Yes. That's a great idea, by the way, because all the K-Rock listeners are going to be there. You know what, Eric? We've come to know each other a little bit through the years. I think at some point, Bean and I need to be featured in some of your recreations.
You know what? I'd be honored to put you into one of our shows.
I want to be that guy in the background that goes, ah!
No, what's so awesome is I need some guys for the Costa Rican redo.
Yes.
Which is the prison thing. It would be awesome if you guys could help us out.
Yeah, si, senor.
No, I don't think we want that one, Bean. That's the phones up the ass.
No, it is. That's why we want it, Kevin.
No, let's do something
That's
else.
That's why we want it.
Anything else.
Si se puede, Eric.
What I'm saying.
All right. Eric Schatz, president of LMNO Productions and the executive producer of a new special called That's Gotta Hurt. That airs tonight at, depending on whether you're cable or satellite, it's 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock on the TLC. And when's the 101 More Things going to be on, Eric? You got a date for that yet?
April 18th, 8 o'clock.
There you go. May we talk to you again right before that special?
I would be honored to give you the world exclusive.
You are our God.
Fantastic. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That's the phone number. It's an answering machine 24 hours a day, and you can call on any topic. A lot of people are in their cars while listening or while thinking about certain things, and they have time to call.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of people who anger them enough to give them a reason.
Hey, people, I mean, does it bother you that some of you are so pathetic at driving that there's people like me sitting behind you calling you an a-hole? I mean, you may not take it personally, but you should, because... For example, the person in front of me in the red Sedona van who apparently doesn't understand what a green light is, a-hole.
I was on a one-lane road the other day that had a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. It was a clear, dry, sunny day, and the guy was going 30.
Yes.
Mm. And I was behind him for like 10 minutes.
There's
nothing I could do. And I wish I had a cell phone to call the Afro Line. I would have done it.
And I like the guys here who go on the freeway. We come in early, so there's not that much traffic. But there are people here that go 40 on the freeway.
Yeah.
And you just want to pull them out of their car and say, dude, there's not that much traffic right now. How about, I don't know, approaching 10 miles under the speed limit? How about that? We get calls about everything.
that whistle make me so happy?
I don't know, but to me, that is a request for Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
Yeah! Exactly.
The game needs to come back.
No.
A lot of people are weighing in on how they feel about Anna Nicole Smith.
Hey, my only regret with the death of Anna Nicole Smith is that it wasn't a head-on collision that killed Paris Hilton at the same time.
Ooh, that would have been better. Good point.
Would have been a good 1-2 punch, wouldn't it have?
Mm-hmm.
This is the most fascinating story to me that's come along since our vice president shot a man in the face.
I feel good. Hey, did you ever find James Brown's body? Is he still frozen?
Okay, first of all, we're not looking.
No.
But people are. They haven't found him yet, right, Bean?
I think I heard something yesterday that made me think that it is in a local funeral home, that it's back in a funeral home being chilled, but there's still a fight between two factions of the family as to where the body is going to be buried. So, yeah, he's been dead for almost 2 months now, still above ground.
Died on Christmas Day. Just went missing from his home. Nobody knew where James Brown's body was. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That's amazing.
Bean does have a few people who call and defend him.
Bean is absolutely right about Valentine's Day being a one-way street where men are required to get women gifts. And it's funny to note that all the men who go against that, like Kevin and Ralph, are gay. They don't think it's that way because they're gay.
Okay.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
It's an interesting take. All right, fine.
I had to tell you about this great guy I met last week.
Okay.
I locked the keys in my car and he helped me get back into my car. He has no arms, no legs, super skinny. His name is Jim. Hey!
That was good, but you ran out of energy at the end. She lost interest in her own. Yeah, his name is Jim. Whatever. Some of our commercials stick in your head, whether you want them to or not.
South Coast Toyota. South Coast Toyota.
Dude, I've so been there with that commercial.
Yeah, me too. An idea for our drink boxing.
Hey, I have a really great idea for before your drink boxing match. You should have double December from this year, and then there's double December from last year. Has their own pillow fight. But instead of using pillows, they can use their boobs.
That's someone a great could idea. Get hurt, though.
Ink that
have
in.
Have you seen those boobs?
Yes.
They could knock each other out.
Right, fine.
Oh, well.
We'll have paramedics standing by. Come on.
And your problem is, Lisa?
You guys remember?
The act that dare not speak its name.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
It's like a Mike earning $500 by doing that. Well, that's what this call is.
I did the act that dare not speak its name in my roommate's shampoo bottle.
Oh.
Her hair was extra shiny this morning.
Oh, God.
Dude. Women, don't live with men. This is what happens.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
All right, so it is Valentine's Day, and perhaps you need a little bit of help in the romance department. Have we got the guy for you? Delman Newton is on the line. He is the creator of something called Fever. It's a stimulation beverage, it's an aphrodisiac, and it has something in it called the horny goat weed. That's all I needed to see. When the horny goat weed is involved, I need to find out more. Delman, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, how you doing?
So you came up with fever stimulation beverage.
Fever stimulation beverage, the first ever stimulation aphrodisiac in a bottle.
Okay. Now, when you say stimulation aphrodisiac, you mean it gets you up and excited like a Red Bull would in addition to making you feel amorous? It's doing both things at the same time?
Yeah, well, kind of is like that. It's actually better than an energy drink because, you know, energy drinks just gives you pure energy.
Right.
Ours provides alertness, but it stimulates the body senses at the same time also.
Now, what is it that makes you turned on?
Well, it actually all has to do with blood flow. And basically what happens is the horny goat weed and the maca and the clava hops, these are all the ingredients that are in our product, are known aphrodisiacs from South America that are known to enhance the libido, to enhance the senses, and it makes for just a great party beverage.
I'll say. How's it taste, Delman?
It's a ginger vanilla flavored iced tea. So, as I said, we're not an energy drink at all, and sometimes people try to compare us to that, but we're totally different. We're non-carbonated.
Non-carbonated. All right.
And it's really, really a good, smooth ginger vanilla flavored iced tea type of beverage.
Okay. Now, when it says you're the creator of the Fever, does that mean that you're a scientist? You came up with this by mixing ingredients in a lab?
No, my background is marketing. I'm a business person by trade, and what I did was I was sitting there. I traveled around and went to Brazil and South America, and I saw how energy drinks were doing well in the market here.
Right.
And I said, if we had aphrodisiac in a bottle, that could be a home run. So immediately I called a friend of mine who's an herbalist, and I told him I went to Amaz, the top herbalists that are in the business today, and come up with a unique formula that can create fever. And that's what we did less than a year ago.
Oh, okay. Now, a lot of people will hear you talk about this, and maybe right. they'll be unclear as to some of the definitions. An aphrodisiac, we're not talking about putting, Rohypnol in a drink here or something. This is completely different. This is something that people will take what would you describe to people what the difference is between what you're describing and, say, a date rape drug?
And a horse tranquilizer. Throw that in there too. What are the differences?
And the penis of a tiger. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying is a lot of people hear aphrodisiac and they think, oh, this is something that a guy's going to buy to try to get a woman to drink because he wants to be able to take advantage of her,
yes.
perhaps illegally. But sounds to me like that's not what you're saying.
No, actually, it's a sense of euphoria. Like, you can drink fever throughout the day. And basically, when you're drinking it just makes you feel good. And in that environment where you're partying, or if it's an environment when you're with your significant other, you just want to feel good. And surprisingly, 70% of our sales today are women who say, hey, I'm out working hard all day, and when I come home to my husband and I have the kids and I'm making dinner, I drink fever. It makes me feel great. And that's what we're experiencing right now. And even in the club, it just heightens that party atmosphere. Because it's a euphoria type of feeling that it gives you.
So it's kind of the drink version of Viagra.
We're not a Viagra or a Cialis, so we don't cure or try to cure erectile dysfunction. We just want to make you feel good, and what happens is a lot of people attach it to the whole sexual part of it because it really makes you feel good during that time.
Right,
well.
Right. Hmm.
But doesn't
right.
alcohol in a club make you feel sexual?
It does.
More,
really,
and loosen
really
you
does.
Up?
And what fever does, fever adds to that. So when you're drinking, let's say, a vodka fever or a rum fever, you can't even taste the alcohol that's in the beverage. You just taste the fever. So and at the end of the day, it tastes a lot better than just drinking just hard alcohol.
Look, if it's got horny goat weed in it, I don't care what it is, I'll eat it. I'll put it in my mouth.
Now, a couple more questions. Delman Newton is on the line. He's the creator of the fever stimulation beverage. It's feverusa.com for the site. We'll get to where you can buy it here in a minute. But if I'm drinking this, let's just say I'm I'm running down. You know, we all we lose a little bit of energy. It's 2-3 in the afternoon. I'm sitting down to watch Oprah. And I say, hey, I'll have me a fever so I'll feel a little better. Am I going to drink one of those, Delman, and then just have to mount something like it's going to drive me crazy if I don't?
Like the couch because it's the only thing there?
Yeah.
You know what's even better about drinking fever versus even drinking, let's say, an energy drink is that there's no crash of fever. So when you drink it, you're alert and you're feeling better. You feel good, euphoric, but you don't have that crash that all the energy drinks give you.
It doesn't.
And
you don't have the come down of like of any of those drinks that just bring you up and then you have then you're out of energy all of a sudden. How do you not have the crash? It just wears
because
off.
That primary crash that you're getting from the energy drinks is coming from that one ingredient that they all have, which is taurine. And taurine is what we did not put in our product.
I got you.
Our product has caffeine in it, but our caffeine is from green tea. So it's all natural products. So you're not getting that crash that taurine is giving you in the product. And we did that purposely. So you will have this at, during the day and feel good and feel euphoric. It's all about the environment that you're in.
All right, Bean was asking you the illegal question. I'm going to ask you the legal question, and that is that Dave, the King of Mexico guy here who answers phone screen, he's our phone screener. He doesn't really have a lot of game, but let's
right.
say he's with somebody who he's attracted to. Hey, right. let's have a drink. He gives her the fever. Is this going to increase his chances at all?
Most definitely. I'm going to tell you why. Because if he gives her the fever, she's going to say, okay, this guy knows what's hot. He knows what's good.
All right, now
he's a marketer.
Now you're walking right into the marketing BS world.
Exactly.
Come on.
Delman, where can people have heard this? Their ears have pricked up, if that's all. And they say, I got to try me some fever. Where do they get it?
Well, the best place right now is fever's in. We're in a lot of the top major markets like Miami, Philadelphia. We're moving into L.A., which is a
long
really
way to
about.
Go for us, dude.
for a nice tea, it's a long way to go to get on a plane to go to Miami.
feverusa.com is the best way you can get it, and you get the product right away, and that's where a lot of our sales are coming from.
I got you.
We started our business. But feverusa.com.
Okay. I got you.
Well, we're going to ask you maybe off the air if you can hook us up, because we'd like to try it and find out more about it, if that's right.
Definitely.
Okay,
no
fantastic. All right, feverusa.com, just in time for Valentine's Day, if you happen to be going to Miami or Philadelphia. Delman Newton has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great Valentine's Day, dude.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Also, lame proposals for Valentine's Day. I guess it's the second most...
Bean, you want to explain this?
I'll mark the tape. I'll mark the tape on that one. Don't worry.
That was a moment with Kevin.
We're on location there, weren't we? I think.
Yeah.
I believe so. Hey, Kevin, can you drink heavily tonight and again tomorrow morning for the live broadcast from Big Bear?
Dude,
you're so funny when you drink.
You have to ask.
You know, that little piece of tape brought to mind an article I just read this morning. This coming out of Reuters News Service from Washington, D.C., from a researchers at Northwestern University in Illinois. They've come up with this. Men who have had a vasectomy may face an increased risk of developing a rare type of dementia marked by a steady loss of language skills, researchers said on Tuesday. They have linked male sterilization to a neurological condition called primary progressive aphasia. It causes people's language capabilities to decline steadily, with symptoms such as faulty recollection of names of peoples and things, difficulties in speech, reading and writing, and poor comprehension.
That's bull, man.
I'm thinking, who on our show has had vasectomies?
Uh-huh. Me and Lightning, that's all.
Yeah. Let's call a Northwestern University and say we've got two more test subjects that prove their case.
I'm suing all of you.
Can we sue someone? If you can remember what suing means.
I won't remember the story later, but...
Yeah.
Damn.
Isn't that interesting?
Is that for real?
It is. Researchers at Northwestern University in Illinois have just come up with this quite a conclusive survey.
I wish I had known that in advance.
Yeah.
Well, Lightning couldn't afford to lose any brain cells.
Here's proof of Lightning's problem.
I know, Kevin, that you don't want me on your side, so I'll make this brief.
Please.
We had a teacher that was partly deaf in one ear and partly blind in another ear.
Blind in one ear. Yeah, it's a little worse than that.
I love me.
That's me and Light right there.
So the Snip twins apparently are doomed to a future of even more dementia.
That's BS. I'm with Lightning. No one told us that ahead of time.
Well, it's a little late, but here it is, black and white, coming from University of Northwestern.
But it's an appropriate trade-off, because who are the people on the show who you least want to see procreate, have any more kids? I mean, it's worth it for them to lose a little of their skills in order to make sure we don't have any more of their kids.
But it's a chicken and the egg thing, you know? Were they this bad before they got snipped, or should they have been snipped because they were this bad? Who knows now?
By the way, the Snip twins are opening up at Coachella.
Oh, I love that, for the record. They're great.
Now, you got...
Yeah,
exactly.
Mariah Carey, she's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
She got a role in a movie.
Again?
Okay. Believe it or not.
Glitter 2?
It is a movie called Tennessee. And she is going to shoot it in Tennessee, naturally. But it is a low-budget film. She's trying to prove herself as an actress. So they're on a shoestring budget. So they can only afford to fly Mariah to the location in Tennessee, economy class, coach.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, that didn't go over too well with Mariah.
Right.
No.
So here's what she does. Shows you what a brain surgeon she is. Maybe she had a vasectomy. She bought every other seat in the economy class cabin for her ride to the state.
All of them?
All of them. So she could be alone.
She just buy a first class seat.
That's what I'm thinking. If you spend that kind of money, wouldn't it be better? You must be able to charter a plane for what it costs to buy the entire economy class section out of an airplane.
What kind of thought process is that?
No one's going to hijack it.
The story in the New York Post this morning. I guess that's true. Just you and the air marshal sitting there. That's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a smarty. She is.
Who's your travel agent? Nancy Pelosi?
Hey, what I want to tell you. Vanessa Minnillo is the jealous type.
Uh-oh.
According to Star Magazine, her boyfriend, Nick Lachey, mentioned that he'd talked to his wife, Jessica Simpson, and Vanessa blew a gasket, almost ending the relationship. The fight was so severe.
Just because they talked?
Yeah. Nick is very unhappy about her jealousy and wants Vanessa to grow up, says the article. Then he looked at her again and said, oh, I don't care.
Never mind.
Whatever. You look like you.
That isn't good for you.
No, it is not. First, the Muslims were upset with 24.
Now who?
Now it's the U.S. military.
Why?
The U.S. military.
They're getting it from both sides over there, aren't they? Apparently, Brigadier General Patrick Finnegan recently visited the set of the show in California to talk to the producers. He is concerned about the effect of the torture scenes and the effect that they're having on the U.S. troops abroad, because 24 is a popular show amongst the armed forces.
They do capture and torture everyone.
Jack Bauer tortures a lot of suspects to get information pretty quickly.
Not just a lot, pretty much everyone.
Brigadier General said, I'd like them to stop.
Yeah, well, too bad.
They should do a show where torture backfires. The kids in the military say, if torture is wrong, what about 24?
Oh, please.
No
one says that.
Sorry, Lieutenant. I thought I could torture the guy because Jack Bauer did it.
I saw it on a TV show.
That's why Guantanamo Bay happened. Please. His 24 is a hit. Did they assume that no one can differentiate between television and reality at all on either side of
That's
the coin?
That's correct, yes.
We're just going to have... Everything's going to be watered down until we just have Omar eating oatmeal on television. That's what it's going to be.
Good times right there.
Yeah, it is good times. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Okay.
Florence Henderson, 73 years old today. She, of course, Mrs. Brady on the Brady Bunch. Teller of Penn & Teller turns 59. Rob Thomas, lead singer from Matchbox 20. He works with Santana from time to time as well. 35 years old today. Freddie Highmore from Finding Neverland and other movies. He's 15 years old today. And Pat O'Brien, P.O.B., host of TV's The Insider, is 59 years old today.
Yes, he is.
Tonight on The Insider, 59-year-old men. And why they're sad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So I'm watching TV the other night, Channel 4 News, which I worship because of their badness.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Moyer, who I also worship because of his badness, tells me this.
Private detectives call this month the Super Bowl of surveillance. February, especially near Valentine's Day, is a time when cheating spouses get active and sometimes careless, and sometimes they get caught. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Hey, thank you, Paul. I'm going to toss it now to Patrick Healy. Patrick, what do you have for us?
Tonight, romance is in the air, but that woman's not his wife.
What?
And by the way, do you know where your significant other will be all of Valentine's Day? Ollie Amar thought he did, but he worked late before calling.
I tried to get a hold of her and couldn't find her.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bad sign right there.
Oh, boy.
You don't want to know, I think. If you have suspicions, you just don't want to know. That's been our policy on this program. So we thought, let's find out more about Valentine's Day being the Super Bowl of surveillance. We went to the Cheaters Detective Agency called 800-CHEATERS, and we asked for Ali Dixon. He is the senior investigator, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Ali, welcome to K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Now, you're the guys behind the Cheaters TV show, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Do good work.
For people who haven't seen that show, you guys investigate. Somebody thinks that their significant other is cheating, so you follow them around with a video camera.
Exactly.
And then you show the video to the spouse who was wondering if they're being cheated on, and then you take the spouse that's being cheated on and the videotape, and you approach the other person, and you say, look at this. What do you have to say about this? And then usually a fight breaks out, and it turns into cops.
Have a pretty awesome confrontation, that's right.
What's the percentage of people who think someone is cheating and then discovers that they're not?
Lisa, that's probably about 90%, you know.
90% are correct?
No, 90% are wrong
are
thinking
wrong?
That they were that
really?
Their spouse was cheating. Is that what you're saying?
No, the opposite.
The opposite, I'm
the
sorry.
Opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have a suspicion, it's a pretty good chance it's going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of warning signs that are pretty obvious.
Okay.
Huh. So on Cheaters, on the TV show, and then we'll talk about the detective agency here in a minute, but on Cheaters, the TV show, your intent is not only to satisfy the client by doing what you're asked to do, which is to find out the person is cheating, but to make sure that both parties are as hurt as possible in the process, right?
Well,
I mean,
no,
you really want to make it hurt.
We try not to do that. No, we want to make sure that they get a nice truth and resolution to the whole issue.
Oh, Ollie, for God's sakes, at least admit it.
And make it hurt. And make it hurt and embarrass them publicly. I mean, all of that is part of the package, right, Ollie?
Exactly, yeah,
okay.
As long as
okay.
You get on the TV show.
All right, yeah, exactly. Well, that airs at 12:30, I think, on Channel 5 in L.A., the Cheaters TV show. So this detective agency came before the TV show, or it's a spinoff from the popularity of the TV show?
It's a spinoff from the popularity of the TV show. About 5 million people watch it a week across the country, so.
They started an investigation agency. Here's the CEO of Cheaters talking about why today, Valentine's Day of all days, is their busiest time.
It's a great time to try to catch them because you can narrow the window of opportunity down to a shorter period of time, so it can be much more cost effective.
So you can hire them for one day, and if they have to make two people happy because it's Valentine's Day, then it's a decent chance you can catch him, right?
Yeah.
What do you offer beyond sitting outside, you know, if I were to hire you, for instance, besides sitting outside my wife's office all day, what else can you do for me to try to find out what she's up to?
Well, we also have access to a variety of different databases to try to find out who the lover is once we identify what kind of car they're driving or where they work, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have vehicle tracking devices that can tell you where the car is at 24 hours a day using GPS technology.
Nice.
Okay. Do you you have guys in the bushes with long lens cameras taking pictures for me?
Yeah, we're somewhat like paparazzi. We're hiding out as much as we can, sometimes even dressing up as homeless people. That's why I've grown out a beard today.
Nice. I know that you probably won't admit this, but there
has to have been a time where you got video and it looked bad and it looked and you guys were all confident you went in, and then it turned out that it wasn't really cheating. It was some other strange, bizarre explanation.
Well, we've got some bizarre explanations. Yeah, did you want to hear one of those stories?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Well, we had a wife that hired us to check out her husband. And it turns out that the husband actually liked to dress up as a woman. So once we found him cheating at a club in Hollywood, we showed her the video, and she said, "It's the wrong video. It's a woman." And we said, "Actually, that's your husband dressed up as a woman."
Nice.
Oh, that's God. Awesome. It's so much worse than she thought.
That's what you want to hear. Okay, that's my husband dressed like a woman. Hey, that's my bra.
Picking up men.
Have you ever had this situation, and we have Ali Dixon on the line, senior investigator of the Cheaters Detective Agency, where somebody has thought their spouse was cheating, hired you, it turned out that they weren't cheating, but that caused a big fight in the relationship because the innocent person said, "Hey, you thought I was cheating? What's up with that?"
Well, you know, we've pretty much never been caught, but they do still present them with the evidence and say, "Hey, listen, we followed you around for a couple of days. I found out you weren't cheating, and that's awesome." And they say, "You hired a private investigator to watch me? Relationship's over."
Nice. Yeah. Excellent. Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you enjoy this kind of work, Ali?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I love it. I love being undercover, and it's kind of like being paparazzi, except for people who aren't very much celebrities.
Do you ever run afoul of the law? I mean, are you ever in situations where you're in kind of a gray area in terms of what you're allowed to do?
No, you know, we're licensed by the state of California, so we definitely have to always be within the law.
He's not Dog the Bounty Hunter, Bean.
All right, for our listeners who want to get in contact with you, it's 800-CHEATERS, or the website is cheaters.com if you want to find any information. And you guys not only have the TV show and the investigation arm of the thing, but you're selling, it looks like, books and DVDs. I mean, you got a whole industry built on this, right?
Exactly. And typically the TV shows are taped in Dallas, Texas. So if you want an investigation in the Southern California area, you do have to pay for it. It starts at about $1,500.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Thank you for talking to us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks.
Paul, back to you.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Hey there, party people. This email from Edgar begins, "I haven't heard much about it this year, but should the K-Rock listeners still send penis photos to Lisa May for Valentine's Day? Please inform. Sincerely, Edgar." Yeah, of course. Every year. It goes without saying that Lisa enjoys getting your penis photos.
Only if they have little hearts hanging from them.
We have been remiss in telling people that.
I want them to be in the spirit.
Lisa at K-Rock.com.
Hearts hanging.
Is it Lisa or Lisa May?
Lisa.
That's Lisa.
Lisa. Lisa. Okay. I got this email from K-Rock listener Michelle. She says, "Okay, guys, as so many others are doing right now, I'm in the midst of planning a romantic Valentine's Day for my hubby, and I am missing music. I need a list of awesome, romantic, getting-in-the-mood songs to play in the background. And no breakup, no sad, sorrow-filled crap either. Can you give me some ideas?"
That's the problem. And by the way, first of all, stunned here that there's a woman actually planning to lift a finger for Valentine's Day. That's shocking in itself. But second of all, she brings up an excellent point, because a lot of the slow songs are sad songs. They're slow, and they go. You think, oh, that might be romantic, but then you listen to the words and you realize not so much. You realize it's actually a breakup song or a death song or something like that.
Those are my favorite. Everybody sings along with it. They don't realize that it's all about death. All right, K-Rock listener Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So, good idea that you thought to ask this, because other people have thought the same thing. Our format, the songs that we play, the rock music, does not lend itself necessarily to romance, right?
That's true.
Not as much as other types of music. I mean, this
like
is...
Like Barry White, you know.
Yeah, sure.
If you're going to go that way.
I wrote back to Michelle. I mean, this is the one that everybody wants for their wedding, etc. This is probably the most requested song that that people want. Everything could ever feel this real forever. Foo Fighters, Evermore. If anything could ever be this good again. And after that, we're out. We got nothing.
Well, I mean, there's obviously there's date rape. I mean, that comes to mind. You know, when you're talking romance, Valentine's Day.
No, I think she's talking about actual romance.
What other songs did you think of, Michelle, that you put on the mixtape?
Haven't done it yet.
Haven't done it yet. Good. Oh, so you're not waiting for us to do it, are you?
Little bit. Yeah, I actually really, really need your help.
I love the idea that you're waiting until right now to plan it, but maybe it's just the music part of it. But we thought we'd open it up for K-Rock listeners at 1-800-520-1067 to find out if you have ideas of romantic music that comes from our type of...
Our genre?
Yeah, our genre.
What about that...
Down, boy, down!
Who's barking?
Sorry, that's my baby dog.
That doesn't sound like a baby.
That's not who you're planning the romantic evening with, Michelle.
No, it's not, I promise.
We can continue. Okay.
What about that that Snow Patrol song, that Chasing Cars song? I know that the ladies love that. Is that a love song? Is that romantic?
If I lay here, will you lie with me and just forget the world?
Yeah, I think that's kind of romantic.
Does that one count, Michelle?
I think that would, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's put that one on the list.
All right, okay. Let's put that one on the list. We have, this one comes to mind.
Rape me.
No, what depends on what you want for Valentine's.
Rape me, my friend.
I mean, if it is a friend, then you're amorous. Right?
I don't think.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think rape ever really it counts as.
But he
love
says,
music.
"Rape me, my friend."
Yeah, I just think to put it on the safe side. I'd say no on that one.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Robin in La Habra, who has an idea. Good morning, Robin.
Yeah. Hi. I thought of a sexual song actually for after after a wedding or a romantic evening with the hubby.
Okay. What is it?
It's actually off the Vin Diesel soundtrack, the XXX. It's a song called Lick, and that kind of explains it all.
Lick?
Yeah, it's a really awesome song. Okay, to get you both in the mood.
Let me just back up and ask you, you own the XXX soundtrack?
Yes, I do, only for that one song that I heard.
Just checking, okay. So Lick is for you, Michelle.
I'll check that one
Thank
out.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, she's going to go right out and buy that XXX.
Yeah.
What about a very popular song here on K-Rock? I don't know if you've thought of this, Michelle, but what about that Lips of an Angel song by Hinder?
Oh.
That one's about cheating.
Yeah, but we don't listen to lyrics.
Oh, you know what? Now that you're right, he is. He's calling his woman on the side, isn't he, in the song? He's like, he's got his wife or something in the bedroom. He's calling his woman on the side. You're right. That's not a good one. Let's not do that one.
How about Trapped in the Closet by no. Linda in Manhattan Beach. Good morning.
Hey, I have my Depeche Mode.
Which one?
Stripped.
By Depeche Mode. That's not bad.
And if it doesn't work, there's a Nine Inch Nails song, I Want to F You Like an Animal.
Yeah, that's, it's not romantic per se. But again, it looks, it depends on what you're looking for. Maybe that's for a little later after dinner.
Maybe
we are
so.
Going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. They're starting to come in with some great suggestions. You know, the song that I played for my wife back when we were young and dating was a K-Rock song at the time called Girlfriend in a Coma. And I thought, very romantic.
For God's sake.
Maybe pull out the Smiths. I think maybe that's the direction you need to go
This was my first dance song at our wedding.
Smack my bitch up!
Who's with me? All right, Michelle, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. If you have some suggestions for Michelle from our format, our type of music, for a romantic Valentine's night. Hang on, Michelle. We'll come right back, okay?
Thanks.
Don't go away. We're trying to help out K-Rock listener Michelle, who is on the line with us here, who is planning something special for her man tonight and is looking to assemble a K-Rock type music playlist. And Michelle, we've gotten some good suggestions so far. We got some great ones on hold. And I want to give you some of the ones that are coming in via email that multiple people are sending these in. Underneath It All by No Doubt, romantic song, apparently. Never listen to the words, not one time.
Yeah, that's the problem with guys is we don't ever pay attention to songs. Yeah. I can listen to a song 1,000 times and not know what it's about.
No idea at all. Yeah.
This one I wouldn't have thought just by based on the band, but apparently Nothing Else Matters by Metallica. Very romantic song, apparently. Mike, is that true? Sure. You follow Metallica? And Soul Meets Body, Death Cab for Cutie, is another one that a lot of people are emailing and saying that's a super romantic song. It's something you ought to think about including on your playlist.
Are you keeping track of these, Michelle?
I am. What's the name of the one from Death Cab?
A Death Cab for Cutie, Soul Meets Body is one that we've played a lot here on K-Rock that apparently is romantic. But we're taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to, why don't we talk to Russ down in Brea. Here's an oldie but a goodie that I wouldn't have thought of, but it sounds like it might work. Hey, Russ.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What song?
Hey, this comes from the 80s, but how about You Too, With or Without You?
And I wait without you.
Not bad.
I like it.
I don't know what it means.
Seems good.
It occurs to me right now, I don't know what any song means. None. Thank you for the call. You a fan of U2, Michelle, or is that a little before your time?
No, I'm 30, so that'll work.
It's a classic. Okay. Let's go to Pamela in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Pamela.
Hi. Oh, it's Laguna Hills.
Laguna Hills. Sorry about that.
Yeah, hi. How's it going? Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hello.
Ding. What song do you think Michelle should include in her soundtrack?
I had a normal one and I had an obnoxious one. What do you want first?
Let's go normal.
Okay, Normal Today by Smashing Pumpkins.
Today is the greatest.
Okay. Obnoxious?
Yeah, another one. I'm sorry?
And Obnoxious?
The Obnoxious one by Lit. You'd have to only play the beginning part, but Complete?
Yeah, I don't think we have that one ready to play at our fingertips. The Lit. We don't have the Lit right at our fingertips.
But you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
We do, yes. Thank you for your suggestions.
Thank you for the call. By the way, another one that a lot of people are emailing in is the one about doing it on, like the Discovery Channel, Bad Touch by Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, sure, Bloodhound Gang, yeah.
When you're talking about romance, there you go. 1-800-520-1067. How about, let's go to Julio. I don't know where Julio's coming from. I mean, I know he's calling from El Monte, but let's find where he's coming from.
Julio?
What's up?
Hey, what's on?
I'm talking about Wham, Charlie's Whispers. Probably
want a
Beat Saber.
Wham? Did you say Wham? Wham, Careless Whispers.
Yeah.
Julio, George Michael doesn't remember Wham. Why do you?
Isn't that, and forgive me for not knowing again, but isn't that a cheating song? Let's hear a little of that. Let's hear a little Wham. Excellent. Omar queued up a instrumental part. That's just what we wanted to hear so we can tell
listen to this part.
Oh, yeah. What the song's about. Isn't it Never Dance Again, I Don't Have Rhythm or something?
No, it's not good news, right?
It's like a cheating song, I think. Michelle, add that one at your own risk. All right.
Yeah, I don't think that one's a good one either.
Let's go to Stephanie in Northridge. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What song do you think would be a good one?
311's cover of Love Song. You make me feel like
I am whole again. That's a great one.
Yeah, totally. But how can you tell it's a love song just because it's, I don't know, called Love Song?
Did you have that one yet, Michelle?
No, that's a good one.
Love Song by 311. Okay, excellent.
Stacy and Whittier, by the way, has a great band that no one ever thinks about anymore, but this is a perfect song for Valentine's Day.
Stacy?
Number One Crush by Garbage.
Oh, you know what? How does that one go? I barely remember that one.
You know any of the words, Stacy?
Stacy, sing it for us.
No.
Do you know any of the words?
Of course.
All right. Well,
I dedicated it to my boyfriend, but
give us some of the romantic words so we can tell what it is.
I would die for you. I can't really sing.
Oh, right. I remember that. Yeah, I would die.
Here's a
for
clip
you,
for it. That so that we don't cry for
you. There you go.
I will wash away your pain with all my tears.
Down your Our format doesn't lend itself to really romantic music, does it?
Yeah, that seems more like she rejected him, and now he's got a razor blade, and he's like, I'm going to die for you.
Really? Is that what you read in?
That's not what I got out of that.
It's not real uplifting.
Jessica in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. Lisa May.
Hi there. What song?
Hi.
I was thinking Muse, either Endlessly or Starlight.
Starlight by Muse?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not a bad one. What do you think about that, Michelle?
That one's better, yeah.
Okay. How about, I have a suggestion for you.
If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol.
Yeah. Huh? You know?
All right, let's do one more from the listeners, and then let's talk to Todd in Lakewood. And then I think Psycho Mike's got a couple of suggestions that he put together for a mixtape for his romantic Valentine's evening.
Okay, Todd in Lakewood. Good morning.
Good morning. I can't believe you guys didn't think of this. You need to do You Touch My Tra-La-La by Gunther.
Oh.
Forgot about Gunther. My tra-la-la. How can we forget about our sweet Gunther? My ding, ding,
dong. This is really maybe the most romantic song ever recorded. And I'm telling you right now, Michelle, if you don't include this in your Valentine's Night mix, you are dead to me.
Okay.
This is the one, seriously, by Gunther. Good idea.
The get down and dance part of the night. It's the slow dance part of the night. Okay, Psycho Mike, you're in a band, right? You have a bunch of romantic songs. You put out a romantic CD, didn't you?
I did. I'm in the process of putting together all romance songs.
Okay, good. And so maybe some of these, maybe we could email you some of these, Michelle, and you could just add them to your group.
That would be really awesome.
Okay. And by the way, Melt With You is another one that somebody called with. That's a decent one. That's a pretty good one.
Okay. By Modern English, sure.
So what's the name of your band, Psycho Mike?
Fisted Sister.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And what kind of romantic songs are you doing?
Well, this is one I put together, almost specifically for a special evening. It's called Doing Us Both a Favor.
That dress you're wearing makes you look real fat. How about you lose some weight and keep your mouth shut, bitch?
That's, that is gnarly.
That's your, you, that's your, it's a love song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of times girls say, you know, you don't have to buy me something expensive. You can make something on your own.
Okay.
So this song's called Arts and Crafts.
You said you like arts and crafts, so I shaved a heart in my pew.
Oh, God.
Okay. That's a good one.
And then this song.
You play a lot of weddings, Mike?
Bar mitzvah was actually a lot. And, this is called There's Only One Girl for Me.
Only One Girl for Me.
My mistress is way hotter than you. My mistress doesn't have any kids. My mistress is way better in bed. And she's 10 years younger. Whore!
That's sweet.
How do you like that, Michelle?
I think I'm speechless.
Excellent.
One of the songs that people were emailing, a great K-Rock love song of all time, by the way, Anything Anything by Dramarama, actually playing next, coming up after the news here at K-Rock, plus highlights of last night's latest fantastic episode of To Catch a Predator as part of Dayline NBC. I know you love the Chris Hansen. Wait till you hear what he did to the people last night, Rob. That's coming up.
I saw it.
After the news at 9 on K-Rock.
What an ass. He's just unbelievable. You know, you guys were talking about favorite love songs, K-Rock love songs.
Yeah, we're taking calls.
Yeah.
You know, you guys disappoint me almost on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But today, I'm really upset.
This is exceptional.
It's unbelievable.
Well, we didn't have time to hit them all, Ralph. I mean, obviously, there's lots of songs out there we could have chosen.
But you didn't choose any off of the CD of love songs that we released a few years ago.
We made our own CD.
We did?
Songs for Young Lovers.
We did, yes.
And you guys didn't play one of them.
It's called Songs for Young
oh,
Lovers.
Really?
Yes,
couldn't be more appropriate. It was recorded by our very own recording artist, Sam the Armenian Comedian. And we had him record an entire disc of songs for Young Lovers. We gave it out as a gift at one of our Valentine's Day singles parties.
That's right.
Well, there's no tie-in, no connection to what we were discussing, Ralph.
Which one? If you had to pick one off the CD.
I think it would have to be My Love is Like a Peanut Butter Sandwich.
Oh, honey, I got two nuts. And you got the buns.
Yeah.
Let's get some butter and let's make this peanut together. I got the nuts. You got the buns. Let's fudge some butter. Let's make peanut sandwich together.
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah, it just oozes sex.
Yeah, it does.
That may be the sexiest song.
It oozes something.
Sexiest song of all time right there.
You know, the remarkable thing about the Armenian Comedian is you can drop the needle on any point in his career, Ralph, and there's never any kind of diminishing skills for him. He's like Elvis. You know, he got fat and ugly at the end, but he could still belt it out. The guy can always sing, and the Armenian Comedian is just as consistent.
The greats are like that. Sinatra, same way.
Yeah.
Some would say his voice got better with age, so he got more talented.
So love is like a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Love is like a peanut butter sandwich.
All right. Because I've got two nuts, and you've got the buns. Let's get some butter.
I don't think I understand.
Make a peanut butter sandwich.
Make it hot, Lisa. Just hearing it.
Oh, my God. I'm melting right here.
Who makes a peanut butter sandwich on a bun, by the way? Even in his own little world, he
uses butter.
Any sense.
I don't know.
This guy. This Prince Frederick von Anhalt.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He's a piece of work, this guy.
This is the dude that's married to that old chick, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yeah.
Right.
Who's famous for being famous, pretty much. She's sort of the Paris Hilton of her day.
She's the Paris Hilton of the 30s.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
She's been in a bunch of movies, but really it all seemed like stunt or cameo casting.
Yeah. Her sister, Ava, had a much bigger career. She was on at least Green Acres. She played the chick on Green Acres. But Zsa Zsa's husband, all of a sudden, as soon as Anna Nicole Smith died, tried to get himself some publicity by saying that he probably was the baby's father.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a 10-year-long relationship with Anna Nicole Smith. Now we're starting to find out more about this guy.
First of all,
he says he's 59.
Okay.
His wife's 90.
Right.
He says he's 59. The German press says he's in his mid-70s.
Wow.
So we know the guy's probably a liar. No one really knows how he got his title. He claims he became good friends with Princess Marie Auguste of Anhalt. And when her son died in a car accident, he comforted her. And then she gave him the title of prince when she adopted him.
What?
Some people say he bought the title off of her because she was bankrupt.
I thought you had to be a prince, you had to either be born into that family or marry into that family.
Well, apparently not.
You can comfort that family, B.
And just become Frederick von Anhalt of Munich, Duke of Saxony, which is his full title.
Well, that's just stupid.
And my favorite little fact about the prince, he once sued Viagra. Because he said he was unable to have sex unless he took the drug. and it was their fault that he got addicted to it.
Oh, so you mean after he started taking it, then it wouldn't work without it?
Yes.
Oh,
and he
nice.
Sued them for lack of visible support or something. I don't know.
What a dork.
So the more we find out about the prince, the more we start to doubt his claim of whether he really had a 10-year love affair with Anna Nicole Smith.
I love how the crazies come out of the woodwork, don't you?
Well, apparently, she slept with pretty much anybody, so he could be absolutely telling the
Security
truth.
Security guard says it's his. Everybody wants the money.
That's right. Friends of Eva Longoria and Tony Parker just received their invitations to their upcoming nuptials. It's a kind of an interesting save-the-date card when it says, yeah, this is when we're going to get married. And by the way, you need to get a valid passport because you're going to have to go to France for the wedding.
Oh,
screw
really?
You! Tell me I got to go to France to watch you get married.
He's French, right?
Yeah, he is French, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, everyone they're inviting...
Isn't it enough that you have to dress up?
And if you have to go to France to get married for his family or whatever, then do two. Come back
do one here
in the States. Don't force people to fly to France to see you get married. I had friends getting married in Pasadena. I wasn't too keen on really driving that far, quite frankly. I don't have to get on an international flight to go see someone get married.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going.
But you know,
even if
really?
I get the invitation, I'm not going.
But you haven't got it yet.
No.
Okay.
But I'm assuming I will.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. And it is Valentine's Day. If you're thinking of sitting at home and just watching a movie with your loved one, here are the top 10 most romantic movies of all time, according to Red Book Magazine. You can choose any one of these fellows, and you probably won't go wrong. Number 10 on the list, Pretty Woman. What's more romantic, really, than a high-priced call girl and a businessman who's commitment-phobic? What says romance more than that?
Really nothing.
Nothing says that.
That should be number one, not number 10.
It's all about whores.
Why do chicks like that movie so much, Lisa? Because Ralph's right. She's a hooker.
Well, we don't care about that. We just care that he's really sexy and they have this great...
And he rescues her from
that
life.
Yeah, he is the prince.
It's a Cinderella story is what it is. That's right. Cinderella
what
story.
She does. It's beside the point.
Ghost, number 9 on the list. Of course, nothing says romance like your husband dying at a young age.
Yeah, that's good times right there.
Becoming something you can't see, but he can move a penny.
Yeah.
He's got that going
he
for him.
He can do that. Yeah. So if you need a penny moved...
That's your man.
He's
right
your guy.
Patrick Swayze. Say Anything, of course.
Yep.
John Cusack holding a big boombox up playing that Peter Gabriel song.
Hey, Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes, we didn't think
in
about.
In Your Eyes, sure, that's a big
one. Say that one.
Perfect Valentine's song, yeah.
When Harry Met Sally. Very entertaining film with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. Of course,
all I know about that is the orgasm scene.
She has a famous faking the orgasm scene.
I don't know anything else about it.
I always found the movie very entertaining, but kind of bogus because they're friends for like 20 years, and then they say, oh, wow, I really love you and want to have sex with you. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. You know, within at least the first year, whether you're eventually going to have sex with that
girl.
Don't
you know, like, in 30 seconds?
No, I do, yeah, but I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
But, Ralph, sometimes people become friends and they have other, you know, significant others in the way of them being together, so they stay friends until they're both available, right? That happens.
That's usually what happens, yes, Pete. They always just stay friends.
That's right. No. They start banging right away.
I'll have what she's having.
Start banging right away and they split up with whoever they're with.
Yeah.
The Way We Were. Oh, that's a classic with Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand.
I don't watch Barbara Streisand movies, sorry.
You know, she was weirdly hot back in her day when she was young.
Whoa. Yes,
she
was.
She still had that giant nose.
No. She was kind of sexy in her own unique way back in the 70s.
I reject you totally.
You see, like, What's Up, Doc, or this movie? She's got a thing.
Yeah, the thing is that gigantic nose.
Oh, she makes it work somehow.
A hideous face.
Love Story number 5 on the list, of course, Ryan O'Neal before he started beating up his kids. In that movie.
Shooting at him.
Dr. Zhivago with Omar Sharif, who just punched out a parking valet for not accepting Egyptian money or something.
Euros, for God's sake. Yeah.
That is it seems slow now by, you know, today's movie standards.
It's an epic.
But it is, it's an epic movie. It's a tremendous movie. I watch that every couple of years. I still love it.
I've never seen it.
Breakfast at Tiffany's with the luminous Audrey Hepburn. Can't get more beautiful than she did back in her day. Casablanca, of course, the classic with Humphrey Bogart. And number 1 on the list. Jackass 2. Jackass
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Isn't that a surprise?
Wow. Especially that scene with Steve-O where he's got
That's the one.
Okay.
No, Gone with the Wind, actually. Number 1 on that list.
Gone with the Wind.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthday is Florence Henderson, who, of course, was Carol Brady on the Brady Bunch for all those years. 73 years old today. Teller from Penn & Teller turns 59 years old today.
Does he have a comment?
See?
Because he's the guy who doesn't talk. I get that.
God, you're a broadcaster. Nice. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 turns 35 years old today. Freddie Highmore, who was the young actor who was so impressive in Finding Neverland with Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
15 years old today.
Was he Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yes, he was. He did that as well.
Oh, he's good.
His second film with Johnny Depp. And Pat O'Brien, our pal P.O.B. from The Insider, is 59 years old today. Desperately in search of the world's fattest anorexic, or whoever they're showing tonight. He
that would be awesome.
Special. He needs something special for tonight's show because this is perfect.
I'd like to see the world's fattest anorexic.
That's quite a category.
It's like she's like 62 pounds instead of 61. She's just got a little extra fat on her.
The other anorexics look at her and go, wow, you're fat.
Wow.
You're huge.
You got to get on the treadmill. Pat's 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know this show has been on for a couple of years now, but it is really hitting its stride, this To Catch a Predator as part of Dateline NBC. And I think Chris Hansen is really enjoying the success of the show, and it loves Chris Hansen more than he ever has before.
Well, that's why the show's so great, because now it has all gone to his head, and he thinks he is just all-powerful.
Chris Hansen does love Chris Hansen. Let me just butt in really quick and say, if you want to join us tomorrow, Bear Mountain, call now at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to broadcast live from Bear Mountain tomorrow, and you can come up. We're going to be there all day, so only if you can come tomorrow. Okay,
back Chris Hansen has more and more power now, and it's gone to his head, and he just thinks he's invincible.
They lure in guys who are on the internet looking for underage girls / guys.
Scumbags.
Yeah.
That's who they
are. Right. And they got, they come to the house and they meet a decoy who they think is the 13 or 14-year-old that they've been chatting with online. And generally that person makes a little bit of small talk and then steps out, and then Chris Hansen steps in. And now he realizes that he's got a perp in front of him who he knows is guilty. He's got all the printouts of all the chats. He also knows that in this case, the Dallas police are on the other side of the door. So he's really not in any kind of danger, and he can just F with them. He can just do whatever he wants with them to make their lives as miserable as possible.
So condescending, even to scumbags.
Yeah, but they're scumbags. I mean, they're the worst type. So what?
But they're going to prison. I mean, that's what the thing is supposed to be about, catching them and sending them to prison, right?
So make them squirm. Who cares?
But why does he have to be such an a-hole?
I don't know, but if you're going to be an a-hole to anybody, this is the group.
I think what Ralph is saying, and I think I'm with him, is go ahead and send the perp to jail, but send Chris Hansen to jail also. I think that's what he's saying.
He's manufacturing sympathy in my mind for the scumbags because he's such an a-hole.
I'd like to just ask that Bean stop using the word perp, as he is not a cop.
All right, in less than 1 minute, here's everything you need to know about Dateline NBC as a guy shows up to meet his new girlfriend that he met on the internet.
As a parent, would you be okay with a 54-year-old man coming to visit a 13-year-old kid?
Of course not. I honestly didn't think he was 13, and I thought about driving away when I saw him at the door.
And like so many other men in his predicament, he brings up religion.
Probably I was thinking the part of me that's Christian was going to talk him out of it.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with like and said, lick nipples and lick and send you. Where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part
of
me.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
He's not going to let that go, is he?
He is.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
He is an a-hole.
Was that Deuteronomy? Was that Mark? Gossip Call according to Mark? Was that Luke or John? Shut up. Hey, I got a Bible right here. Maybe you could show me where you read this, where you read these words about the nipples. Could you tell me that, please?
He is an a-hole. I'll give you that.
Why does he say, look, dude, you've got kids. How could you do this with children of your own? Instead of saying, so would you be okay if some 53-year-old man came over to your child? Of course the answer to that is no.
Sure. He knows that. Yeah.
I am truly sorry.
Well, I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
And I love me.
And we're doing a story on men who try to meet kids online for sex.
I'm truly sorry. I have learned my lesson. Thank you for helping me with it.
And bye-bye.
I'm an excellent teacher.
What?
I want to stay that way.
What? He's a junior high school teacher.
Junior high teacher.
Yeah, but he teaches math. No kids want to have sex with a math teacher.
Really? Are the history teachers the hot ones around?
No, it's always history, English, or phys ed. Those are the ones
now,
that
when
the action.
When those guys make contact with the underage kid and then they show up at the house, that's against the law already, right? They don't have to do anything.
They don't have to show up.
They don't have to show up.
In Texas, where they did the show last night, if you solicit sex with a minor or even over the internet without having done anything else, that's already a second-degree felony.
Fantastic. So when he says, thanks for helping me out and showing me my lesson,
he's screwed.
As if he's going to walk out.
Some guys didn't even get out of their car. They just drove by to check out the scene and took off, and they still
Bill sent the cops over to pull him over.
No kidding.
They had already committed the crime.
Wow.
And one of the, this is part one of two from Dallas. And one of the guys that we'll see on next week's show actually shows up with a gun. And it looks like, didn't it to you, Ralph, from the previews, that there's a shootout and maybe the guy gets nicked. Right?
A shootout?
No, it's they go to the guy's house. He doesn't show up, and he's got a gun in his home, and he barricades himself inside his home.
Ah, sweet.
And I believe he takes his own life before the cops can get to him.
Yeah. Good with me.
Hanson is fine so happy. Yeah. Now he's really playing.
How do you feel now being
by
there?
The way, they're going to do the setup. Get hotter or decoys. You know, if I'm going to show up, for a bang a 13-year-old girl, have her be, like, hot. Give me that, at least, before I go to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you want
to see a sporty-looking, like, you know, like a little sexy 13-year-old girl? I don't want to see this big chubster in the sweatshirt they had last night. That was bad.
Why do you want us to throw the perp a bone?
I'm just saying. For me, as a TV viewer, I want to get a little excited about this. I want to see, like, a hot-looking 13-year-old.
Well, the Dallas one was a little weak, but when they do it in Southern Cali, they have that, like, Eurasian-looking one. She's pretty hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the reason for the show, guys.
Am I missing the point?
Yes.
Oh,
contract. All right. One of the things that I love about the guys is, remember, they only have a couple of seconds to realize, I'm not going to be having sex with anyone here tonight, and I'm going to get arrested, and I'm on camera. So they're just basically, they're swimming upstream at this point. They're desperately trying to think of an excuse. How can I explain this away and make it look innocent? And a lot of times you hear, oh, I was just coming over to talk, or we were just going to watch TV. Of course, then they go out to the car, and they always have handcuffs and lube and stuff like that, right? Here's a guy who came up with a novel excuse, and you got to listen kind of closely. This is his idea of what he's going to try to convince Chris Hansen he was there for.
And I was fully intending on sitting right here until her mother got home.
All right, I was fully intending on sitting right here until her mother got home, he says, all right? He's protecting her at this point. He didn't come to have sex with her.
You were?
Yes, sir. I was. I was going to explain to her mother how I come to be here.
And how are you going to explain that to the mother?
By telling her about the chat.
You're going to say, hi, I was cruising a chat room. I started talking to your daughter. I asked her if she ever masturbated. I asked her if I could have sex with her.
Listen to the guy. I'm not sure that's the words I would have used.
But like usual, Chris Hansen has the chat that guy used, so he knows what he said.
Exactly, yeah. But how's that for an excuse? Yeah, I just came over just to let the mom know what her daughter was doing on the internet, just to try to protect her.
I just want to help with the mother understanding the dangers of the internet.
He's doing a service.
Right.
Nice try. Here's Chris doing a little focus group when he finds out that the guy who showed up for teenage sex is actually a fan of Dateline ABC.
So you know what's going on here.
Right.
Do you like the show?
Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Pretty good show.
What do you think of me on the show? How's my hair?
How's the show? You like it?
How about
my turtlenecks? Do you like my turtlenecks that I wear?
F you. Why would he ask this guy?
Because he's a smarmy punk ass.
The guy's soliciting underage kids for sex, and he wants to know what he thinks of the show.
Because it's cute. Like, it's cute for him to say.
What's your favorite part?
Now, one of the awesome things when they do the Dateline NBC To Catch a Predator in Texas is that you also get to follow the guy after he's arrested into the interrogation room. Now, this is where the police are basically trying to get him to admit that he was planning on having sex, because that makes it a more trumped up charge.
Right.
It's one thing to solicit on the internet. It's another thing if your intent was to have sex. So they bring him in and they interview him. This guy is absolutely convinced that he did nothing wrong. He's talking to the cops here.
If there's no intentions of doing anything, why did you go over there? Why did you take beer? Why did you take lubricant? And then why did you write, I want to see you naked? You can suck my Why did you write that?
I don't remember writing that.
You may not remember it, but you wrote it.
Last month?
No. This was yesterday.
Is that a cause to get me arrested?
Yeah, yes.
I don't remember writing that. Oh, well, okay, I wrote it, but last month. Oh, it was yesterday?
Oh, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Is that wrong?
he way got arrested. And I'm going to close with one more clip from To Catch a Predator. This guy was my favorite, and it's unbelievable. Every time they arrest these guys, they search them, and then they search the car. And they always find the most fantastic things. I mean, there's one guy last night on the show, Ralph, you probably saw him, who was basically driving around handing out webcams to every girl they could find to try to, you know, so he could get them to set him up. And they always have all sorts of sex stuff. They always have lube. This guy had... how can I describe this on the air? It's a round rubber ring that you might find someplace to use it.
Sure, yeah.
That's what he had, and he's trying to figure out a way to explain this away and somehow make it look innocent. Again, he's talking to the cops.
It had spikes coming off of it. What is that?
I don't remember now.
It's some kind of ring.
Oh, a finger indexer for clipping through papers?
No.
Well, that's what I got it for.
That's what I got it for, he says, right? So he's floating this balloon to see if this is going to fly. Is he going to get away with making it sound like it's something to sort paperwork for?
Where'd you get it?
I think I got that at an office supply store.
Sure.
No, you didn't buy that at an office supply store. Maybe an adult bookstore or someplace like that? Is it some kind of stimulator?
I guess it could be. The more I think about it.
I think we both know. You brought that out here today when you went to meet this 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, it was probably just in my jacket.
Okay. Yeah.
It was not intentional.
No, oh, it wasn't intentional. It just happened to be my jacket.
Oh, I did some paperwork later that day.
Just in case I was going to read a paper.
Right, exactly.
You got to have it at hand.
Chris Hansen, what do you have on next week's show on To Catch a Predator? Chris?
Oh, I thought you had tape. I'm sorry. I have more people eating and drinking things while I ask them how they like my show.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize.
I know the engineering crew is very busy down there at K-Rock, but maybe they can set up some sort of a timer, maybe something that counts down the songs so you can see how long they are. Then you know how much time you have until...
Oh, got have gigantic numbers counting down.
They have one, but it's a sundial.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
We're indoors.
Yeah, so that's a problem.
Well, it's good news, bad news for What It Do Nephew today, because you get a prize where you get to go see the Los Angeles Kings take on the Colorado Avalanche. That's awesome, at Staples Center on Saturday, February 24th. However, you got to be in a suite with Kevin, so...
Yeah.
It's kind of a
what are you
downside
gonna do? And I'm going to sit in the front row so I can see, and that'll block everyone's
oh,
view.
You can't do that. You have to sit in the very back.
No.
No, you have to.
See, you know what occurs to me is that we're giving this prize away to What It Do Nephew calls, and they may not even be hockey fans, in which case that's bad.
Well, they don't have to accept the prize if they don't
want
to.
Just sit around and talk the whole time.
This season with the Kings won't matter all that much.
That's true. They're not exactly setting the world on fire.
No.
1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, we got some good ones here. You want to start with Ryan in Long Beach, maybe?
All right. Ryan in Long Beach. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, nephew?
Hi, Ryan.
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
Okay. So last night, I get out of school around 10 o'clock. I get home around 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
I walk into my laundry room to do a little laundry for the next day,
mm-hmm.
and there my mom is playing with a bob.
Oh, no, no,
yay!
No.
Yes.
No, you didn't catch. No.
A bob, for those you don't know, is a battery-operated boyfriend.
I am not joking.
No.
A vibrator.
I turned around and walked out, and I have not seen her since.
You shouldn't, by the way. You should never see her again.
Doesn't she have a bedroom of her own? Does she have to do it in the laundry room?
I don't know. I just walked in, and there she was. Maybe she was on...
Sometimes it just strikes you.
Maybe she was sitting on the washer or dryer.
It strikes you. Does she carry a vibrator on a holster, Lisa, just in case she's going to whip
do.
It out?
I
well,
do.
That's you. Maybe she's sitting on the washer to get a vibration.
Hey,
Ryan,
puts a pair of sneakers in the dryer and just sits on it.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to ask, Ryan, is she hot?
Oh, no, you don't have to ask that.
You know, I don't. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you didn't want to see that.
Did she say anything?
No, but she looked at me, and we made eye contact, and I turned around and walked out.
Did she say, busy?
Embarrassing.
Nope.
Wow.
Is your mom still...
say anything.
Is your mom still married or have a boyfriend or anything?
She is married.
Well, I guess that's fine, but...
Dad's not getting it done.
She should certainly not do it where you're going to walk in on it. I think is the message here.
And especially what time she knows I get home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she wanted
to. Stop it.
Shut up.
Come on.
Maybe she was saying, come on
this
in,
is, honey.
This is not specialty porn.
Why don't you have a seat there, Bean? I have some questions I'd like to ask you.
Do you guys want to know the best part?
How can that more? Not be the best part?
How is there a best part?
She's a first grade teacher.
Yeah, that's no better.
That's
awesome.
Wow. Thank you. All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. See, that's the kind of guy you
please,
want to
please, Ryan's
with
mom, sit down. I have some questions for you. How would you feel if your first grade teacher was...
Yeah. Wow, that's not good. Kyle in Riverside, good morning.
What a do, nephews?
What a do.
Hey, Bean, are you excited as I am?
Oh, spring training? Hell yeah.
Oh, man, yesterday Nationals, Yankees, pitchers, catchers reported.
All right, next call. Ooh,
did you say Yankees?
Story.
Did you say Yankees?
I did. I hate the Yankees, but, I mean, if they're going to kick it off, somebody's got to get it started.
Oh, I see. So you just said the Yankees because they're the first team to report.
Right.
Okay.
I've got a countdown clock on my computer to the start of Mariners spring training. It starts in 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 48 seconds from right now. Down.
Exciting story.
Yeah.
Tell us more about your countdown clock, Bean.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm with Kyle on that. There are a lot of baseball fans out there that this is the time of year they've been waiting
for.
Are
we still talking about baseball?
We are.
Dude, we're just a few weeks away from opening day.
Leslie,
you're
in Los Angeles.
Going to walk with me. I'm not walking with you.
Leslie, hi.
Hey, what it do?
Well, what it do, nephew?
Hey, happy Singles Awareness Day, guys.
That's right.
All righty. I like it.
Singles Awareness Day.
In case you weren't aware, you were single?
Yeah. Okay.
What do you call single people? It's pointed out to them.
Yeah. That way you can point.
Newly singles. We've got Howard K. Stern. This guy is an idiot.
Now, this is.
Have you seen him on these ET interviews?
Yeah. Yes. Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer slash leech. Yeah, he was on in the plane, I guess, on the way back to the Bahamas. He brought the Entertainment Tonight reporter with him in the plane.
Yeah.
And it's just pathetic.
He brokered himself a deal, as Lisa May said, 24 hours after the body died. After she, the body got cold, he was already in the works to do an interview
deal.
He
was together enough to sign a deal.
Well,
to make $1 million.
$1 million is what it's, that's the report,
that
right?
Is what
he could
I heard.
See through his tears to sign.
Yeah, and what did you think about the interview?
Well, they took the interview, and I was listening to someone talk over, like at work, talk about how they had some specialists watch his interview, and the specialist was saying that they hadn't seen a performance like that since Scott Peterson.
So the specialist was saying body language and all that other stuff,
body language expert, and that the tears were totally fake, and it was just all crocodile tears, and you know, he was just full of it.
He is a better actor than his dead stripper girlfriend was, I'll tell you that.
But just barely. I mean, he's awful.
I did hear about someone who was a specialist who watched the interview and said that never once does he refer to Daniel Lynn as my daughter. He only referred to her by her first name.
It's Daniel.
And this expert said he had never seen a parent not refer to their child as their child or their daughter at any point.
That's
right.
To a
that,
good point.
That consistently.
Since it's not his kid.
He calls
kid.
Her the paycheck, right? Isn't that how he refers to her?
I believe
it's
he
the
does.
Paycheck.
Yeah.
No.
The trust fund,
thanks,
I think he called it. Thanks for the call, Leslie. You know, I was watching Access Hollywood last night, and I had not heard this aspect of the story, but apparently Anna was very sick on the day she died. She'd had a serious fever. You know, she had a nurse traveling with her, and they said she had 105 fever the morning that she died. And this nurse, by the way, who I don't know what her credentials were, but instead of taking her to the hospital, you know, was just like icing her down in the hotel room. I mean, she's real. I mean, you guys know 105.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's deadly, right? So where's Howard K. Stern when his, you know, wife or whatever he calls
wife.
Her is this sick? Rather than taking her to the hospital, he's off signing papers to buy a yacht. That's where he is when she dies.
We didn't know that, but still, I hate him.
But he should have been with her and taken her to the hospital if she was that sick. That's the point.
You mean when this happened?
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna.
The nurse apparently was icing her down to 6 ounces at a time with Tangeray and tonic as well.
Is that right?
Good idea, yeah.
Is that how you ice her down?
Here's to get more ice.
All right. You want to close with our pal Nick, our favorite window licker. He's calling
Nick!
The spirit of the holiday.
Nick.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Nick.
What's up?
How you doing, Nick?
I am good. Okay, this is kind of late because you were talking about this earlier. I have the ultimate romantic K-Rock song.
The reason that we brought this up, for those of you that weren't listening then, is we had a K-Rock listener named Michelle. She was planning a thing for her man, and she wanted K-Rock songs that were romantic because they weren't really popping to her mind like that, necessarily.
It's actually kind of a dark romantic song, Read My Mind by The Killers.
Well, of course, we know the song. We play the song, but I haven't ever listened to the lyrics. I don't have any idea.
It's my favorite song right on K-Rock. Killers are my favorite band. It might be my favorite song, period.
Your favorite song of all time?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting up there. I love it.
What did that song mean to you, Nick?
It's about a guy who's, like, trying to fight for his girl, trying to win her. It's the underdog love song. It's my song.
Just like you and Alex, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes, like me and Alex.
Does he win in the end or no?
Yeah, he does. You don't actually just sit down and listen to the lyrics.
Nope. I haven't listened to lyrics my whole life.
That's why we're asking you.
Yeah. I listen to lyrics. Right. I listen to lyrics. Yeah, he wins the girl in the end.
Well, then it's not your story, right?
Oh, how dare you.
It's so my story.
All right, Nick, let me ask you this. Is it better than this?
So I just glanced my head to the right on Hollywood Boulevard. And man, did I see this gorgeous face that I've never seen in entire my life. And I said to myself, oh baby, I just want to look at you one more time.
Is it better than that?
Yes.
Nick? No, but the Armenian comedian gives that song a run for its money.
Yeah, exactly.
First time I've ever heard a band have lead drums as their instrument.
Hey, let me ask Nick one more question. I know that you're a cheap bastard, so maybe this question will offend you. But did you think to send Alex, who you are enamored of, at least a card for Valentine's Day?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm bigger, but, you know, I'm not feeling it from her, you know?
Well, she's not returning the feeling.
Yeah, but you don't give up. If it's true love, Nick, you still send a card. You at least keep your name, you know, keep your hat in the ring.
I never dress.
Yeah. Yeah, you could never have found out how to send something to K-Rock. You struggle so hard, Nick.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye now.
I got a Valentine's card from Kevin this year, him and a bunch of black dudes. Yes. I couldn't understand it at all. I don't know what message he was trying to send me, but it's Kevin and some black dudes. I think they wanted a date or they wanted to come over for a party or something. I didn't get it. I was confused.
My wife sends out cards at some point during the year for no reason at all, and yes. She sent out a Valentine's card from when we were in Africa.
Right.
And it was with this tribe of Maasai warriors or something like that.
Nothing says love for me than you and a bunch of black dudes carrying
warriors.
Spears.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's hilarious, though, is that Kevin is looking in one direction and every single other person in the photo is looking in another direction. Did you notice that, Ralph?
I did notice that, yeah. It's hard to spot Kevin, though.
Yeah.
In that picture. Oh, no, wait a minute. He's the incredibly white guy with the blinding blonde hair.
And no hat. I was thinking about that.
My skin was bright red, yes. Since no one can see that, let's not.
Did they put it up online?
Maybe I'll bring the picture. We can put it up online. That's a good idea. We can have that.
That's a good idea. Did they come up and want to touch your hair and stuff? Did they look at you as some sort of a visiting god?
Because you've never seen
anyone so white?
No, they more kept their distance, I think. It was more of that kind of thing. Like, stay away from that guy. I don't know why.
Good times.
Yeah.
I want to thank all of our guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including Eric Schatz, who's the world's greatest television producer. His new show is called That's Gotta Hurt, and that airs tonight at 7 or 10 on TLC. It really does look fantastic.
Delicious.
Right. I also want to thank Delman Newton, the creator of the Fever beverage, which is a stimulant and an aphrodisiac. Go to feverusa.com if you want to check that out. And thanks again to Ali Dixon, the senior investigator of the Cheaters Detective Agency. If you want to hire him, go call 800-CHEATERS. Check out the website cheaters.com. And yeah, they're the ones who are involved in the TV show, too.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to be broadcasting live from Bear Mountain.
Yes, we are.
Taking the whole show up there, and what could go wrong with that?
Nothing.
We're going to have a...
What's the occasion, by the way? Why are we... I didn't...
It's just K-Rock Day.
Why are we doing that?
It's just K-Rock Day at the mountain.
Yes. Everybody, that's what she said.
Oh! It's also That's What She Said Day. We'll get to that in a second. Kat's going to be up there. Jed's going to be up there. Stryker, everybody's going to be up at Bear Mountain all day tomorrow. So
Tammy?
If you can come down and join us.
No.
She'll be up there. She'll see the whole schedule. She works in the rental shop, though.
Right. She'll try on your boots. also tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Lightning and Psycho Mike on the red carpet at 23.
Delicious.
Now, do you have the clip of you and Lightning?
A little sampling of what we can look forward to tomorrow?
This is Psycho Mike and Lightning, and they're hosting the red carpet, which means they're up on the stage in front of the crowd, and they're wasting time. And then when people come up, they interview the celebrities and stuff. And if only we would have known we wanted that. Okay, here's a little bit of what you're going to hear tomorrow.
My middle name, no one knows this.
Dwight.
Yes.
Yeah, I do know that.
My father's first name, my grandfather's first name.
I don't even care, but you know what I do care about are all the people that are going to call Kevin and Bean tomorrow and say, I can't believe how bad Mike and Lightning are on the mic. Yeah.
You guys did that in public in front of people?
No.
Not since Martin and Lewis have I heard such a comedy team, really.
Almost 3,000 people.
Oh no. Why would you talk about your middle name? At what point did you
say? It's funny. Nobody knows this, but my middle name is Dwight. Like, dude, people know everything else about you.
The middle name chunk is taking the nation by storm.
Does
okay?
it kill?
Maybe because your antiquated view on comedy, you don't know what's going on. But I'm out there pounding the streets. I know what's going down.
I was listening. I didn't hear any laughter in the crowd.
Well, you know, it's a very unidirectional mic.
I see.
Cut it all off.
Okay, I got
it. It's amazing. No one knows this about it.
This lacks the feel of professionalism.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and before he gets his name out, Lightning says it.
Yeah, Dwight. I know.
Apparently Lightning knows
Nobody
it.
Knows this, but
Dwight.
That's the good stuff. It gets so much worse.
What really? Are we talking about, by the way?
You looked at me, you're like, oh, that's right, Jay Lightning Tillis. And I'm like, okay, what's your middle name? You're making me sound like a night stalker.
Can you guys hold on a second? Are we still talking about the behind the scenes of why you were just talking about your middle name?
We were trying to pull the curtain back.
Lightning,
does
it ever dawn on you in any situation in front of a crowd of any size that you can just shut the F up?
I will have you know that
you're not compelled to talk all the time.
Even as those things, you don't have to continuously talk. You could take a little break.
The company that asked us to come out to host complimented me for 20 minutes. Wouldn't let me leave. This was so great. You guys
That's
had
bullshit.
The crowd going the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now was
That's
it,
bullshit.
Was it drivel? Yes, possibly. Absolutely.
You have your head up your ass.
Yes, we did.
You're dead to me.
Good.
Sure, right. With stuff
knock,
like the
knock. Lightning sucks.
With stuff like the middle name, Chunk, I can see why they would be complimenting you for 20
They're going to be talking about that for years.
Yeah. Dude, remember that time those guys talked about their middle names? Good times. Good times. Golden age. Golden age of red carpets.
Everybody's going to remember where they were that day.
That's right. It's like Kennedy's assassination.
We weren't trying to make history
like
here.
Like the OJ slow speed chase.
The day Humor was assassinated on the red carpet.
We weren't trying to make history, Lightning, but we might have.
That's right.
Ooh, that's right.
So anyway,
today
tomorrow
is the day that the laughter died.
Right. To get back to the story, tomorrow we're going to hear some highlights of the red carpet, if there are any. And we're going to be broadcasting from Bear Mountain. And you can come down and take on Dave the King of Mexico in a snowboard race, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And if you like that song Jane Fonda that you've been hearing here on K-Rock, we're going to have the artist who recorded that, Mickey Avalon, is going to be joining us at Bear Mountain tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, throughout the day, other live musical acts are going to be playing. And it's all free, too. We're giving away lift tickets all day long here on K-Rock. Or you can just come on up if you want. I mean, we're storming the mountain. We'll be there all day long tomorrow here on the world famous
K-Rock. Grandpa's name was Dwight, too.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Sorry, I missed that.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
It sure is.
Was that not crazy?
Kat is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock on KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, including AFI's The Missing Flame, also Sublime, the new one from the Silver Sun Pickups. We got Smashing Pumpkins, Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.